paid into Medicare for decades. Don't spend retirement limping. The Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. It's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000.
And a happy Sunday morning to you. It is 1:07 in the morning because we have Turn Back Time.
Yeah. Good job, Cher. You turned it back.
She did. It was Cher. In fact, it was 2:06 and then Joey cued it. You know, what's funny is, I don't know if this is funny or just terribly unprepared. This is my only request for Joey today for the show.
I did see that you weren't going to do the show if we could not get this song. Yes. I was like, wow.
That's the only prep work I did for today was just make sure we've got Cher leading us off. And Esmeralda and I can take care of the rest.
It did crack me up that was the threat you were going to do the show. I was like, goodness gracious.
Well, it just is so fitting. And Cher, and she says if I could turn back time. And in fact, she does.
It did take me a minute
to figure out why I was requesting
right.
that.
Right. I just thought, oh, he likes that song. And then maybe 3 hours later, I went, oh, I get it.
Let the record show, I do really like that song. And anything that Cher does.
Your butt hanging out?
Excuse me?
Have you not seen the video?
No.
Oh,
her butt
my gosh.
Hangs out?
Yeah, she's on a Navy ship, and she's
really?
Performing for Navy men.
So seamen?
And her butt, yeah. Mm-hmm. And her butt's hanging out. She's wearing like this G-string
Cher?
Thing. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
No.
She was very scantily clad.
I love Cher. I'm
John Hanson, you have not seen that video yet?
Yeah.
Is that a gay joke, Roger?
No.
I just thought that was it.
No, not at all. How old is that song? The song's older than you.
Yeah, I know.
And you haven't seen that video yet, and you love the song.
I do. I love anything Cher. Yeah. I've seen
awesome.
The Believe video and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I still have my gay card in my wallet. I have not lost it just because I've never
seen it. Nothing wrong with that. It's just that when she started describing, I had forgotten that was the video.
Yeah, her butt's all...
She's on this battleship, and she's like wearing almost nothing.
I love Cher. Well, that's why I haven't seen it, Roger. What does that have in it for me? I mean, like a G-string,
a
woman in a
G-string.
Okay, all right, then that's true. That's true. Are they attractive? Are they
all in uniform?
Okay.
Yeah, they're all in, yeah.
I know what I'm doing during the first break.
We're watching.
I'm watching the video.
You're
sorry,
turn
that
back
was.
Time.
I left that really wide open. I am going to look for the video during the first break. Esmeralda Leon, how you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm feeling very good.
Very good.
We're in for Dave Plyer. I'm John Hanson, by the way. You can follow me on Twitter at John JON, the Cubs fan. And it's never been a better Twitter handle than this week. It was a terrible AOL screen name for a long time.
Oh, wow.
I brought it
since then.
I've had
Goodness.
It as my AOL screen name, my AIM screen name. That was my nickname in late high school and college was John the Cubs fan or JTCF.
How is that a nickname?
They called me JTCF. That's what they would call me. Because okay. in college, that's how we communicated in the dorms was through AIM. That's when it was really big
right.
for us.
Well, you were the only Cubs fan, though?
No, but I was the only John. I'm the only John the Cubs fan.
It just seems like a very generic name.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless you were in the middle of, like, everyone else loved the Sox, and then it was like, no, that's John the Cubs fan.
I think it just was about who I was so much as a kid, especially when AOL came around when I was in probably high school.
So you were pretty excited?
Oh my
one?
Gosh! Yes, can you? Yeah,
is that a thing?
That was a thing.
Are you excited?
Yeah, it was over the moon, and you know that's what I'm really curious about because we're going to talk about the Cubs a little bit here, and we really want to hear from you guys out there and your perspectives. 312-981-7200. What this win meant to you, and get the sob stories out. I love these stories of.
Oh my God.
I love the stories of that of the of your parents or your grandparents that may have been around for it. But we're also, I'd love to hear, unfortunately, the stories that they're watching in heaven or whatever it might
right.
be. I've been crying all week.
Yes.
There are so many moments where I just break down in tears.
WGN Morning News had on a, or they showed the their promo
mm-hmm.
that they had with pictures of people
just sobbing
that had passed
oh,
and that were
God.
Like they're watching. I just started crying.
Yeah.
I'm not even like I have really no stake in this at all. Like
mm-hmm.
I never my family is not a big
right.
sports people, but I can't help emotions and feelings.
I was
just sobbing.
So I was covering it for WCIU. So I was in Cleveland, which was great. I went to game 6. We didn't have credentials, so mm-hmm. everyone's like, oh, you're so lucky. You were there, and you got to see every game. No, I mean, I paid my way into game 6, And then I watched Game 7 from a bar across the street. And aww. I know. It was really cute, though. I was with a lot of Cleveland fans, and they were great. It was
did
wonderful.
Did you run out?
Yeah. I mean,
at Game 7, did you just run out into the street? Like,
yes, because I had to go interview people for work. So I had to go find my camera guy.
You just running like, I have to get by.
Mm-hmm. And I... So the emotion was kind of getting to me while I was at the bar. And that was probably because the Cleveland fans kept on buying me fireball shots. So I was pretty... I was pretty, not gone. I was very with it because I had to work that night. But I was so, like when they were up 5-1, I kind of had to stop myself because I was starting to get emotional about it, realizing what was happening. And that's what made that game so incredible and so Cubs-like and then anti-Cubs-like at the end. And I think what made it feel even more special that night was that, God, they had it and you felt so good. And then it was ripped away from you out of your soul because then all of a sudden it was tied in the eighth inning. And it just made it so much sweeter that they won. Because if they had just won that game like 8-1 or something like that, I think you were, I mean, it's still huge. You still appreciate it.
Yeah, it would have been great. But this
to get to the summit and then get thrown off of the mountain and to feel so close and then have it ripped away from you was so, I went to a very dark place inside myself thinking of the many times, and like not even 07, 08 where the Cubs got swept, because there was never really a chance there, but it was more like that 03 game six, that eighth inning gut punch, or that game seven, sixth inning gut punch where they, again, you felt like that was going to happen. And those were obviously just for to get to win the pennant. But I mean, I went to that dark place and then that rain delay happened and I was, I mean, I'm glad the Cubs rallied during that rain delay, obviously, and they got together. I was the exact opposite of that. I was like closing my tab at the bar in anticipation of losing and being depressed. I was calling the hotel to try and get an extra night because I had no idea how long the rain was going to go. But I'm not saying that I didn't have confidence because this team has overcome that so many times this year. But I was in a real, real dark place.
I was watching the game, and it was exciting, and my heart sank. My heart sank when I saw that they were tied and then rained. And I was like, oh my gosh. It's going to,
And I just love that the narrative was that the rain delay was the best thing to happen to them. I mean, that is, you couldn't write that for a script.
I can't wait to see the movie.
I know, right? I want to see what happened inside that locker room. I know. And of all people, Jason Hayward, the symbol of just the only real disappointment of the year was Jason Hayward. And not even, he was great defensively, ran the bases well, and he hit a little better in the World Series. But just that he was the guy that they still respect
maybe
in that clubhouse.
Knew. He knew, because he was like, you know what, I'm not doing that great. But this is my thing. Right. I can do this. I can rally.
If anyone has a reason to be disappointed, it's Jason Hayward. And he's the guy that rallies this team together. It just was so wonderful to hear those stories. And then everyone starts saying that it's like my grandma and your grandma. It was tears from heaven to pause that game for a little while, or they brought on the rain. And then, you know, you can go ahead and poo-poo that all you want, and I agree. That's ludicrous to say that our dead relatives created a rain delay. But then you it's so fun to buy into that.
But
especially,
let's just say they did.
Right. It's just so fun to buy into that. And then they get a two-run lead, and then they go to the 10th, and they still can't make it easy. They get the first two out so easily. They walk a guy on four pitches. He steals, base hit, and then it's like, oh, my gosh. And then Mike Montgomery, and just to see the smile on Chris Bryant's face as he is laughing at history, knowing even with 108 years, and he is smiling and as he throws that ball across the diamond, and just – the elation that we hear from fans, for me, it wasn't like, oh my gosh, they won the World Series. I think we're going to have a clip here in a second that this is what a lot of Cubs were saying. They just kept on saying, they did it. They did it. It wasn't like, finally, oh my gosh, or yay. It was, they did it. Let's hear that clip from an old guy. This is from a Fox affiliate in Indianapolis. I believe an 86-year-old reacting to the World Series win. And you could just hear the...
Still boggles my mind.
Just the release of just, like, laughter. And that was, and I was just, I was surrounded by Cleveland fans, so I had to keep it somewhat in check. And they, I got to say, and you know, we go to so many states in Canada here overnight. So if anyone in Ohio is listening, obviously this is probably painful for them to hear or to talk about. But those Cleveland fans, for the most part, in that bar were so gracious.
Right. That's what I keep hearing.
Yeah.
That Cleveland, for the most part, Cleveland fans wish nothing. They're happy for us.
Yeah.
In the sense, you know, they'd rather lose to us than anyone else.
Right. And it was just, and I felt the same way too. I'm like, oh, this is not the Yankees or the Red Sox if we're going to lose. But they were real baseball fans next to me. I think they appreciated that I wasn't this drunk Cubs. I was kind of drunk. But I mean, I wasn't this, the prototypical Cubs fan you might see. And we talked baseball the whole game. I mean, I was bummed that I couldn't be in Chicago with my friends and I didn't have the money to go to Game 7. But it ended up being a very unique experience that I think I'll look back on and be very happy that I got to be in that city with those baseball fans sitting at that bar. And they might have liked me because I just kept on buying buckets of beer for them. Because like the beers were like $2.50 a piece. I was like, oh, yeah, here you go. And I felt like I had just saved $1,300 because I didn't spend it to go to the game. So I was just like, oh, yeah, make it rain in here. 250 Miller Lights. Here's 10 of them for you guys. But it was incredible. So where did you watch, by the way?
Went to Emporium in Lincoln Square for a little bit, and then I had to come here to work, and so I sat in my studio and I watched the game. And then it was great because Andy Mazur, he was waiting to do after the game, and when they won, apparently he just he fell to the ground.
Yeah.
He says he doesn't even remember what he did in the moments after the year that they won. He's like, I don't know, I just blacked out. And he's crying and like get himself together. I'm like, oh my God, that's so sweet.
That's really cool. I mean Andy was obviously a lifelong guy.
Yeah. And, no, I was happy. I saw that. I was like, oh, I'm so happy for you guys.
It's very sweet. 312-981-7200. Please give us a call. We would love to hear your stories or what that win means to you or to a loved one. Or to maybe a loved one that's passed and what they'd be feeling if they were here now. Oh, and then the Harry Carey ad. I mean, that just... Here's the other thing. So then I called my dad. We actually showed this on the show. I don't want to play it because I don't want to... I can't even watch it. But I decided to call my dad that night at like 2:30 in the morning at the hotel room when I finally got home. And I just bawled like a baby because we were talking about Graham and all this stuff. And then I felt insincere because we actually did have the camera there to have me do it because we were looking for those personal reactions. And but it's still being gone and then having to work a little bit and then work that morning, the next morning, I didn't really feel it. And then I came home and I came home dead tired and I just started watching videos online of either the replay of the game or the Harry Carey ad that they had or the Cubs all the way video that they had and they did and all that stuff. And it wasn't just like welling up tears. I had my Cubs hat still on and I had to cover my face and literally, I mean, just bawl, sob openly into that. And I broke down watching the rally when Anthony Rizzo started crying.
I was just like, oh, okay.
I know, right?
It's okay, little Rizzo.
Little Rizzo. And then even still this morning, there's just little things that'll get me. And when I was watching the video we just played the audio for, I mean, that was the first time I watched it, I cried. So there's still going to be a lot of that. We'll obviously get to some of your responses. I see people are calling in. So please keep on calling in. 312-981-7200. Send us texts as well if you'd like. And we'll be back with more Cubs talk and plenty more later on in the show here on 720 WGN. Someday we'll go all the way. Yeah, someday we'll go all the way. On the morning of Game 7, you're listening to WGN 720, obviously. Dave Plyer's not in. Says Merylda Leon and myself, John Hanson, here filling in. Yeah, the morning of when we were reporting out there for CIU, it kind of hit me as we were ending the show. I was like, you know, next year, could be this year tonight or someday we go all the way. I mean, it's today. Like, it could be today. And, of course, it was. We're talking about all things of the reaction to the Cubs World Series win. Obviously not looking for the play-by-play. We're looking for our analysis of the game. And, look, there's going to be plenty of time to analyze what happens next year. There's going to be plenty of time to talk about Joe Maddon's managing in that game. But that's not what this weekend's all about. That's not what tonight's all about. It's about kind of celebrating this and talking through, I don't know, your feelings and emotions. So Patrick's on 720 WGN. Good morning, Patrick.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, good. All right, so you got something to say to Cleveland fans, right?
I mean, obviously they're awesome. From what your guy reported, he was sitting there with them. Obviously, he was buying them beers. You know, it might have enticed the situation, but I'm pretty sure they had no problem losing. Even Kispin, as awesome as he was, I hated the guy, but I loved him at the same time. You know,
who did you love? Was it
Kispin?
Kipnis. Yeah, the Chicago guy. Yeah.
Kipnis. I'm sorry. I thought it was Kispin.
Whatever. Kispin, Kipnis, way, whatever.
That guy.
Right. Either way, the guy was freaking awesome, yeah. Right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, they only had four hits.
Every time he came up to bat, Oh, no. I mean, he made awesome plays. He made awesome hits. But, you know, if you're going to lose to a team, what team can you lose to that hasn't won in 108 years?
Right.
You know, I mean, what really bothered me was with all the coverage of the game,
mm-hmm.
the final, they didn't show any nothing with Cleveland. I didn't see one picture of Cleveland. Once Ryan threw the ball,
Bryant, to Rizzo, yeah. Oh, you wanted to see, like, Cleveland players sad?
Yeah, oh, no.
I wanted to see if obviously they were like, yeah, that sucks, you know.
Right.
So I don't know.
There was one clip. I was going to say.
Yeah. They were walking back into the dugout.
Yeah, I think they got off the field pretty quickly. I saw one close-up along the dugout of, you know how Fox does those slow zooms. And Patrick, thanks again for the call. And I'm sure that they had no problem. Here's the thing. It's like, oh, you know, the Cubs obviously had the drought longer. Come on, deal with it. The Cleveland fans I was with at the bar, there was even some in their 50s. They weren't alive for 1948. It's the exact same drought length, whether it's 48 or 08.
Nobody wants to lose. And I understand them not showing them because who wants to be on camera after you lose?
Right. You showed nervous Cubs fans the whole damn series. You might as well show happy ones. Okay, I got a special guest now. All right, Jim, you there? Jim Mowry, how you doing, bud?
I'm fine.
Jim was at the last World Series game, actually the last three of them in 1945. He made it to Wrigley. And Jim, we had you on last week. You made it to Cleveland, right?
Yes, I did.
Were you at Game 7?
I was there.
Talk us through it, Jim. Preach.
Well, out of the blue, somebody started a GoFundMe. And they woke me up at 6 in the morning and said to get to the airport and get on a plane.
Wow.
And I did make it to the game, and they got me a special seat, the Bob Uecker seat.
Oh, nice.
That's the closest to God I've ever been.
Yeah. Were you in the last row of the upper deck? I've been up there. That's where I was in game 6.
I was in section 533,
okay,
which is at the very end, and at second row from the top. Of which, it's straight up there. So nobody gets up and goes down because it's a tour just to make it up to the seat, which also protected us when it started to rain. There's a little bit of a roof.
Oh yeah.
All the way around the ballpark. So the few of us that were underneath that did not get wet at all.
So what were your thoughts, Jim? What were your thoughts when the Indians tied it? Were you saying here we go again, or did you have faith?
Well, I'm not a big fan of Chapman. So that, by the way, I had it was like 50% Cub fans and 50% Cleveland fans up there. When they brought him in, I said the Cleveland fan to the right of me. I said I think you're going to have a chance here now because he hasn't always done well when there's a man on base when he comes in. So I didn't want to be the predictor, but it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so they hadn't had a whole lot to cheer about. So at that point, the fans came alive. And the neat thing about being there is I've never seen a group of people with opposite teams involved in such pressure. You know, between the two of them, there's 176 years of not winning.
Mm-hmm.
And when they were cheering for something good that happened, the Cub fans didn't go boo or make some bad remarks or anything like that, and vice versa. And when the game actually ended, the Cub fans were all taking pictures and hugging and everything else. And these people were so gracious. They actually were like, congratulations, and you really felt bad for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're the longest team. And so it was elated. It was, everybody was elated at the game. And it was, this was not the best played game.
No.
In fact, if they had lost, Madden, as good as he is, has been, he was going to be really picked on. And like, some of the changes he made were right off the roof. Why did he take the kid out at the start?
Come on, Jim. I said no bash. The Joe Madden bashing's for next week. All right, let's just celebrate.
Actually, would you rather go see the perfect game of 1-0, or the fans where they want to see some action and everything? And it was happening for both teams. And so it has to be one of the most exciting games that I've been to. I'm 83 years old, and it was exciting.
Yeah, it absolutely was. Jim, I'm so glad you got to go to the game. I saw the GoFundMe page. I'm really glad that people stepped up and got you that game, and I imagine it's something you'll never forget, and what a dream.
Well, it was exciting. That's all I can say. That, and I appreciate all the things that people did for me to get there, and it was... that's a one of, it'll never happen again. I can't wait another. I'm 83. I can't wait another 71 years.
No, you'll be back next year.
I hope so.
I hope so too. Jim, it's been great to get to know you, and we'll grab breakfast soon. Okay.
I will for sure.
All right, Jim. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. Jim Mowry, a class act. We had him on the show, WCIU. And the second time we had him on, he brought us coffee and breakfast and all this stuff like on the streets of Wrigley. He's a great,
that's so nice,
great man. And, couldn't happen to a better person to get to go to that game 7. Okay, more Cubs. So 312-981-7200 is great. We've got to take a quick break here on 720 WGN. I never heard this. Fly the W. I mean, I know the phrase fly the W, the hashtag. Who sings that, Joey? What is that? Who is this?
It is by Bronte Fall. It's Fall. It's the new big one that they've been playing on the news here. Judy Pilex, one of her favorites.
Oh, Bronte Fall.
Yeah.
Is that someone I should know?
I don't think so, because I have no idea who they are.
And if she had a video where she was wearing a G-string like Cher, I still wouldn't know who she was.
I had to explain to my mom what the W meant.
Oh, okay.
Because we're completely sports oblivious.
Right, you had no idea.
Mom's
yeah.
just like, what does that mean? I'm like, right. It means they won, Mom.
Right.
They won.
And you know they originally would put it up. And so people on the L could see it going by.
Right.
Yeah.
His mom's like, the neighbors have a flag with a W. What does that mean? It means they won.
The whole city won, does, ma. Come on, ma. Get with it. 720 WGN. John Hanson and Esmeralda filling in for Dave Plyer. Still not as fun of a name as it is Matt Bubala. Sorry, I say that
Matt
every week.
Bubala.
Matt Bubala. In for
it's
Dave Plyer. Roger's eating. What are you eating up there, Roger? You got like a sandwich or something?
I'm sorry. I
don't apologize.
No, you don't got to apologize.
Feeding yourself.
I wanted you to share it.
This is my pasta with chicken.
Oh.
And some Parmesan cheese.
Oh. Mm. What kind of sauce?
It's a marinara. It's, I think it's the, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. Well, we don't, you know.
Well, it's the healthy sauce because I'm supposed to buy...
The healthy sauce. Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I buy it for when the grandkids come over.
So oh, okay.
I buy
very
the organic
nice.
Stuff okay. and everything.
So. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. It's,
I ate McDonald's.
Yes,
I had some
I noticed that, and noticed when you were eating it, I didn't say a thing to you.
Yeah.
Just mm-hmm. a bag of McDonald's.
To each their own.
Oh, just give me a bag. Hey, Mickey D's, just fill her up.
Yeah. Fill it up
with
to
an
the
assortment
top.
Of things.
You bring up Mickey D's. And,
okay.
And you know me, I blurt things out. So I'm blurting things out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So back in the days when I used to do advertising, do you know how they came up with the term Mickey D's?
There was a man named Mickey D.
Wrong.
Okay.
It's McDonald's, so they just went Mickey D.
Wrong.
Okay, what is it?
This the largest African American advertising agency, Borrell Advertising, is in Chicago. They're mm-hmm. centered here, and they got the contract from McDonald's to produce advertising specifically targeted at the African American community. So, in their research, they went to McDonald's in the African American communities, and that's what everyone walking into McDonald's. Was calling
interesting.
It.
So they formed their advertising campaign just mimicking what was already being
exactly.
That's smart.
Yep.
If they're already calling it that, everyone's already calling it. I love that term, Mickey D's. Yeah. I also love McDonald's. They're not paying me a dollar to say this. My favorite part about McDonald's is when I go through the drive-thru and I get I always get a McDouble and a small fry, and they put it in the bag. The best part of any week is when you're done and you reach in the back and there's bag fries.
Dessert. Yes.
Bonus bag fries.
Oh, yeah. Dessert.
They got lost in the shuffle. Now, like, I just hope sometimes that they just leave me a few. And then, like, when I reach in, there's only one. I'm like, not that many bags.
But you savor that one.
It's like, they didn't like
you hold it. You hold it for a while you're driving.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah,
you're
got
eating.
One.
It's great because you see that you're eating from the bag, and then you go, oh, there's some for later.
My our
two
photographer.
Later.
Oh, so good. So good. My photographer, our photographer, producer that we went to Cleveland with. On the way back, he drove for the first couple hours on the way back, and he drops something underneath the seat, and he went down to find it under the gas station. He's like, John, there are like 30 fries down here. I was like, this is
disgusting. Dessert fries.
Dean. Esmeralda, I know we're going to talk about we're talking about Cubs for this for a little bit. And also, if you're a Sox fan out there, feel free to call and give your thoughts, 312-981-7200. If you're listening in Ohio, you want to give your thoughts, feel free. Or if you're sick of it, don't call it. No, I'm just kidding. You can call it. I imagine there will be some Cubby fatigue soon.
I mean,
Are you almost there?
Well, I don't have a stake in this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big sports fan whatsoever.
Right.
I like the camera. I like the team. They're adorable. The game was fun. The fans.
I know.
Some of them are a bit much.
Well, this actually kind of leads into what wants to ask. Fred, you there? Fred, you're on 720 WGN. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine.
You got a question for us, Fred?
Yes. Why in the last Chicago Cubs did not allow people to go in and view the Lord's screams inside the stadium?
Mm.
They probably would get 20, 30,000 people.
Oh, I think they'd have 45,000 people.
$45 and a person.
Mm-hmm.
They could donate $500,000 to $1 million to charity, similar to what the Cleveland Indians did when the games were there.
Fred, I know a lot of people were asking that, and when I was in Cleveland, the affiliates on the TV stations were saying, man, we're so much better than Chicago because they didn't have the watch party. Here's my best guess at that. I never got an official answer, but what I imagine is they knew that Wrigleyville would be crazy already. I was talking to some officers before Game 3, before the Cubs lost Game 3, when it was still a possibility they would win at home the World Series. And the officers were very wary of that situation in that you're already going to get, I don't know, hundreds of thousands of people into Wrigleyville, and then trying to have exits with 45,000 people also pouring into the street.
Right.
It was a very, what could have been, and it ended up being a great celebration. There were some disorderly conduct things going on, and we proved that you get a 5 million, quote-unquote, people and not have a problem. But they were really worried about overcrowding that neighborhood, Fred. And, I can kind of see it, can't you?
Well, not really, because they only had, I think, 6 or 7 arrests, and your station even was saying it's well controlled.
Yeah,
right. But imagine having
it's the exiting.
How many
like
people,
that's,
yeah,
it's like all those people got to get out of that stadium.
Well, and getting them out.
Yeah, and getting them out.
They won't want to leave.
Yeah. I get where you're coming, though, Fred. That would have been a really nice gesture, and we really appreciate the call. Because that would have been really cool, like, to also see, when you're watching the game, to see that, then, like, take what it looked like inside, instead of just what it looks like at Murphy's Bleachers, what does it look like in
Wrigley?
Yeah,
I was also thinking just having to pay everyone. Everyone's going to have to be in there. Everyone, security.
Yeah, that's true.
All this and that, but, you know.
Vendors and stuff,
I don't know how that plays out in the sense that, you know, if that's not set up, they can't just do it.
Right, exactly.
They can't just be like, hey, everybody, come back to work.
Yeah. And, it'd be nice for the workers to get to watch the game on their own.
That, too.
Mm-hmm.
That, too.
312-91-7200. We're talking Cubs and just reactions. If you've got maybe a parent or a grandparent that's around that got to see it and you're so happy and you want to tell their story and how they reacted or how you reacted, or if you've got a relative out there that you want to send a shout out to into the ether or the sound to see if they're listening for wherever they went.
Radio waves travel.
Yeah, they do travel. If they can travel on up to wherever your relative might be, that would have probably loved to be here for it.
Do you want to hear some spooky things?
I do want to hear some spooky things.
Some spooky things about why we won?
Give me some spooky things.
It's some spooky evidence that proves this was fate.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs won.
Okay, give us a couple.
So Javier Baez He hit a 108 stitched baseball.
Yeah, that's right.
108th pitch for the home run during game one.
Okay,
yeah. Game one of the NLDS.
Mm-hmm.
If you combine the last two Cubs players to be inducted to the Hall of Fame, Ron Santo and Andre Dawson, their numbers add up to 108.
Whoa.
10 plus 8.
Mm-hmm.
Most Cubs' first pitches are scheduled for 7:08, mm-hmm. which is 19:08.
Military time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The distance to both right and left field foul poles at Wrigley is 108 meters.
That's true. 355 and 353 feet. Okay, yeah.
The first World Series game at Wrigley was 10/8.
Okay.
The Cubs' last World Series game win was on 10/8.
Wow.
The World Series trophy is made of silver. Silver's atomic weight.
108.
108.
Wow.
Back to the Future 2 features the Cubs winning the World Series, the movie, 108 minutes long.
Wow. You know, interesting thing about the Back to the Future thing. A lot of people are like, mm-hmm. they were a year off. They said 2015.
That's what I was thinking.
But you take out that strike year, and all of a sudden, because they didn't play the World Series in 1994.
Oh, so I was thinking because he changed fate.
Right,
so
they just moved up one. Yeah.
So wait, this is the creepiest one to me. Mm-hmm. Is at the rally, mm-hmm. Joe Madden holding up the trophy, the timestamp. This was for NBC5, 1:08. Dun dun dun.
I think there was another one.
Oh, there's a bazillion.
Yeah, it was like they won in the 10th inning. And I forgot now where the 8 came from.
Right. They scored 8 runs. Yeah. Also, if you win a 4-game series, you record 108 outs against your opponent. 27 times 4. Which I think is 108. Yep. Really spooky stuff. If you have any other spooky stuff or other stuff, give us a call, 312-981-7200. And I see you there. We're going to get you in just a minute. Quick break on 720 WGN. This is going to be a tough play. Go, 720 WGN. John Hanson, Esmeralda Leon in for Dave Plyer. First things, the Joe Buck stuff. I know a lot of people do not like the calls that he had for the game. I will say one thing I always like about what he does during celebrations or whatever it is, he will just kind of get out of the way. He'll make the call, and then there's probably like 2 minutes of silence, just letting the crowd reactions, the shots do the work, and he does do that very well. Which I know a lot of people are complaining about. All right, the other thing is I hear Go Cubs Go, and it's not my favorite song in the world.
Right, but it is so catchy.
It's so catchy. And then the country artist, I forget his name, he played it yesterday at the rally.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm really upset he didn't give a shout-out to Steve Goodman, who wrote the song, who was a giant Cubs fan, who died like a week before the 1984 playoffs, who wrote so many great songs. It wasn't like he just wrote that one. He wrote a dying Cubs fan's last request, the New Orleans mm-hmm. song. Like, so he's such a great singer songwriter. Can you just give him a little shout out?
Brent Eldridge.
Steve Goodman a little shout out. That would have made me and I think a lot of Cubs fans very, very happy. 312-91-7200. We're talking your reaction to Cubs or any questions you might have. And Ann, you're on 720 WGN. You have a question.
Hi. Yeah, yes, I do. Excuse me. I live in Chicago all my life, and I never remember having baseball, football, hockey, election at the same time. And did this ever happen before? And also, will this enthusiasm help the people switch back to the election and the country and the voting on Tuesday, or is it a distraction?
That's a great question, Anne.
Switches over.
Well, that's a two-parter. So the first thing was, has baseball, basketball, football, hockey, and election ever happened at one time? Well, the White Sox won in 2005, which was not an election year. The Cubs won in 1908, which was an election year, but obviously that was before a couple of those sports were invented. So I don't think
all of them at the same time?
Yeah, not here in Chicago. I don't think those are
not here. No.
No. That'll be that. I honestly loved the distraction for 2 weeks.
No, I think this was good because it was just
so much.
It's,
and I'm a political junkie,
right? And I kind of think at a certain point people have made their decisions for the most part, and you can't, I mean, you can yell and try to explain things to people all you want, but they're going to vote who they're going to vote for.
Exactly.
You just have to tell them, can you please vote?
Right. And I'm fine with whatever opinion you have. I'm a huge Hillary Clinton supporter. That's probably not a surprise to a lot of people that listen. But whatever. I mean, I'm fine with the other side, I guess, whatever. But it hasn't been a great couple of weeks for Hillary. She's been dropping in the polls for the FBI continuing their investigation and all that stuff. So I was fine to have the distraction for it.
Right. It's a good one, too. This brings everyone together.
Yeah.
All races, religions, whatever, sports.
I imagine Trump supporters are also sick of this stuff. So we'll just, you know what? Here's the thing. I voted early, and literally I walked out of that polling place, and I'm like, all right, Jesus, take the wheel. Like, I can't do any more about this. I cannot worry any more about this. Just you take the wheel, and you let us know what's going on. Okay, so Jim calls in. Jim, what do you got for us here on 720 WGN?
I have something to say about the Cubs winning the World Series.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's heaven sent. My Uncle Joe was a diehard Packer fan. And never got to see the Packers win a Super Bowl. And the year after he passed, the Packers went and won their Super Bowl. And then my cousin Liz, she was, even though she lived in Wisconsin, she was a diehard Sox fan. And unfortunately, she passed. And the year after that, the Sox won the World Series.
No, I think I know where this is going. No. Don't tell me there's a third one.
Earlier this year, my Aunt Judy, who's a diehard Cub fan, she passed. And we knew when she was even on her deathbed how she wanted to see the Cubs win a World Series this year. So we all thought, well, it's going to happen because then she passed. We're always talking about Ron Santo and Harry Carey and Ernie Banks, Jack Brickhouse being up in heaven and how this is for everybody else. And this year the Cubs won it on 11/2, which in the Catholic Church is All Souls Day.
All right. Jim, do you have the belief that although they're not here, and that's obviously tragic, that, you know, maybe there's something going on there that they were up there watching and helping tug that thing along?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's heaven sent, and even the weather for their rally parade.
Right.
And this is just beyond being great Cub players. This is heaven sent. It's just miracle.
Yeah, it really was. It was that sense of, is this real? I don't even think it's sunk in for me yet officially. I don't know when it will. I don't know if there's an official thing that happens, but it just is. It's amazing to say that the Cubs are World Series champions. Jim, thank you so much for the call,
I think,
okay?
Some people can't believe it
they
say it.
Yeah, and sorry for your losses, obviously, but hopefully, and I believe it, your relatives passing not in vain. They helped those Cubbies get there.
Did you see the Onion put out an article about the Cubs? These millions of drunk Cubs fans rioting in heaven following World Series win. It's like, that sounds right.
That sounds right. I did read that one, and there was something really sweet about it, you know?
Like, oh, they're having their own celebration up there. It's adorable.
They were like talking about like Jim so-and-so who died in 1971 was puking on Jesus's robe and stuff like that, which I know
is... Hey, they're having fun.
They're having fun, exactly. I think the article ends with... How does it? I think it ends with, like, that 9 of them have been banished to hell for their celebration.
I would think they'd get a pass. I'd be like, it's okay.
I know, exactly.
Did a little research. You said 1908, you didn't think some of the sports were around. And I'm thinking, you know, well, that was a little before my time.
I guess I meant here in Chicago.
Well, right. Well, there was hockey. There was professional hockey.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it was the year the first All-Star game in ice hockey history was held in January 2nd, 1908.
Wow, okay.
Did we have a team?
I'm just giving you the highlights of who beat who.
Yeah, he's still early on in the research here as well.
You weren't there?
He's put down his pasta for this. You know he's taking it seriously.
I finished my pasta. Montreal Wanderers defeated the Ottawa Victorias in a two-game challenge to retain the Stanley Cup.
I think
1908,
Victoria was still queen.
We had college basketball.
Okay.
They even mentioned University of Illinois, men's college basketball team, in 1908. So, she mentioned basketball, mm-hmm. hockey.
An election,
1908.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And baseball.
So, they existed, right?
Right.
But not here, necessarily.
Well, we'll do a little more research.
We're being selfish. We want to know about
us. You know
me,
because I love history, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I just need to know stuff that, of course, doesn't mean anything to anyone except me, probably.
Right.
But I'll do a little more research, and I'm sure I'll come up with something.
While we got you, before you go to news, I'm sure you've been asked about this before. But what was your initial reaction?
I was exactly what you're going through. And I posted this. It was the day after something happened, and I don't know what I was watching, but I lost it.
Mm-hmm.
I lost it. It hit me. And I know what you were going through, and Esmeralda knows this too, especially when we're working in this business, we do the job. Mm-hmm. We know what we're going through. You know, like the night that Ernie Banks passed away, I was sitting at this desk, and I went into my news mode because I started hearing little bits of information. People started to talk. I saw it on social media, started making phone calls. But the fact that he passed away and he was such a big part of my youth with the Cubs and everything, it didn't hit me until the next day on a personal level.
Yeah, because in this job, you put the blinders on.
You have to.
Yeah.
Or you couldn't do your job, because if I had to talk about the Cubs winning the World Series and didn't maintain my professionalism, I'd be a blithering mess on the air.
Right.
Just tears. I wouldn't be able to talk. You just can't do your job. So you have to delay that emotion. And at some point, it's all going to come out. And it came out the next day. And I don't know how much Kleenex I went through. I couldn't stop. Every time I heard the first note of a Cubs song, I just started blubbering like a baby. And then starting to think, as you mentioned, you know, my dad, my mom, the Mother's Day, Women's Day at Ladies' Day at Wrigley Field, going with her, and the rain delay. I know you got to get to the news, but
it's your news, Roger. You go as long. You talk your song as you want.
Here's the rain delay, and this I thought about this the next day. I remember very vividly a day that my brother, who is 6 years older than I am, he rode with me on the back of his bicycle to the Howard L, at that time called the Howard Englewood, not the Red Line.
Right.
And we locked up the bicycle, and we took the L to Addison, went to a Cubs game together. And it was in like about the fifth inning or so, and it started to rain. And we waited and waited and waited. And, of course, you know, nobody had a smartphone then to check the radar and see where the rain was.
Right.
And we waited forever, at least an hour and a half. And he looked at me, and I looked at him because it was getting late. And he says, do you want to stay or do you want to go? And I go, I'd love to stay, but... You know, I don't want this to be, sit around and they never finish the game. And they were losing. The Cubs were losing. And we finally decided, you know what, let's go ahead and go home. We got back on the train, got to Howard Street, got on the bicycle, the rain had stopped, and got home. And in that time it took us to do all that, the Cubs had won the game. And so when I'm watching the 10th inning the other night, and the rain, and checking the radar, and thinking they are going to play this game, they are not going to delay this game, and the Cubs are going to win.
And you felt that?
I did.
That's a beautiful story, Roger. And they did it. Yeah. And that's the best thing, is that they did it. They actually did it. Yeah.
You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. I'm here with John Hansen.
Howdy.
Hi.
Howdy.
And because our producer Joey is the best, we're going to talk about exes. See how Joey that works, guys? See how that works?
Joey doesn't have any.
I know. I was like, what?
Who doesn't have any exes?
Huh? I'm smooth sailing right now.
Knock on wood.
Well,
knock on wood.
I don't know about that. He said he was one and done, and then he realized what he had said.
No.
I meant
ongoing.
One and going.
Yeah. So you guys? So Joey's just out of college. He's a young man.
Yes, he's a baby.
Girlfriend's still in college, right? Senior year. So how long have you guys dated?
It's been a little over a year now.
Oh my gosh!
Okay.
Really? Enough? Oh, that's too cute.
Thank you.
So you that's were so you cute. Flew solo through high school and most of college?
Yeah.
All right. So I'm not judging, I.
He's judging really hard.
I'm
just, I think it's adorable.
I dated girls in high school.
And that
That didn't work out so well. I switched teams pretty quickly there.
So I was looking through the internets, and I got this article. Chrissy Teigen is really, if you know, she's a model. She's married to John Legend, great musician. She is, as this article says, pretty chill about being friends with all of John Legend's exes.
Which I was friends like, with John Legend's exes.
Right.
Oh.
So her husband's exes.
Like ex-wives or girlfriends?
Girlfriends, yeah.
Is John Legend friends with his exes?
Well,
even? Or is it that she's like even gone past that?
So apparently she told Cosmo that because he used to be way into, I mean, he's always been into models.
Mm-hmm.
So she and she's a model.
Right.
So she knows all these girls.
Okay.
And she'll just joke. She'll be like, oh, yeah, I was with your ex. We had a great time. Like, she's fine with him. Because she says it's after her and it's okay.
You could totally tell I didn't do the prep work for this part because I thought we were talking about friends with your own exes.
No, let's talk about that too, though.
Okay. Let's throw it all in there.
All the exes. Your significant others, yours.
Right.
Because I don't want to be friends with any of them.
So,
is it just me? I'm like, no. I'm cool.
Yeah, so this is interesting. That's an interesting little wrinkle on this. I don't know what ages we're talking about. Because in high school, everyone dated each other.
Right. For this, you know what?
I don't think that counts.
I don't count those because it's so...
Right.
It's so very, like...
Right. I had two best friends in high school, and we all dated the same girls.
Yeah, it's very simple. It's a simple time.
It's a simple time, right. We're looking beyond that, right?
Right. The nitty-gritty when you're dating someone and it's getting... It's serious, and it's this and that. So my boyfriend, he is friends with all his exes.
And does that bother you?
No.
What do you mean by friends?
He's very good friends with them. His high school girlfriend, because they dated into college, that one was not simple.
Okay.
Because his mother is friends with her. She's integral part of his growing up and this and that. But I'm fine with it because she's married and has a baby.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like, it's fine.
Nothing's going on.
I mean, I'm not worried that he's going to go back to his exes or anything.
Right.
But I think because for me, my exes, I'm not friends with any of them.
Is it one of those things that you sometimes are like, I'm okay with this, but should I be? Should I feel worse about this? And then you kind of like work yourself up into not being okay with
it. Right. I think to myself, I'm like, no, it's fine.
Right.
It's fine. It's fine. He just got out of it fine and they were all fine.
When you say all, how many are we talking here?
There's the high school one.
I'm
going
to say
two.
Okay, so
two or three, I think.
And by friends, are you talking like talking all the time or hanging out alone?
No, they don't hang out alone.
Okay.
But that wouldn't bother me either.
Really?
I'm not, you know what, I'm not like that, but I kind of have this. I think the ones that were, that one doesn't bother me because it was so back
long
in
ago,
the high
right.
school and whatever.
Right.
But I think if he was like, yeah, the girl I dated before you. We're best buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it was right before.
Right. Yeah. I'd be a little cool.
312-981-7200. I imagine people have ex stories out there.
Please.
I'm sure everyone has a crazy ex, except for Joey. And let us know. 312-981-7200. Could you be friends, first of all, with your ex, right? That's the first question. And could you be friends with your partner's ex?
Right.
So are you friendly with these girls or no?
Yeah. I mean, I don't talk. I mean, we're not like having lunch together or anything, but no, they're fine. I see them and they're fine. I have no ill will.
I imagine that would weird him
them.
Out if you were to just start taking out
the lunch.
I don't
think he would because because he left those relationships in a okay way.
Mm-hmm.
They're both fine and they realize that they're not for each other. He's okay with it. And I'm fine with it, but I'm kind of like... I don't know. Like I said, if it was something more recent, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm wrong.
So
I'd be a little more jealous.
I can think of examples. Okay, so Brett's exes.
Right. Is he friends with his exes?
No. He's not.
Wait, I thought you were like, no.
I'm trying to go back because I was really good friends with his ex, And then I started dating him instead.
But that was like, that just happened.
It was like a steal away. So no, we're not friends with him so much anymore. but previous ones, here's what I was getting at. Mm-hmm. I can think of situations in which I am interacting with the ex of my current partner, and I really ham it up, turn on the charm to try and show how cordial I am, how much better I am.
Like I'm
really
better than you.
Look at me. Look at how nice I am to you. Look at how cordial and how kind I am to you. I'm just turning it up to impress the current partner.
Now, do you do that? Do you see any of your exes?
I'm kind of friends with one of them, not too often though.
Do they have someone now?
No, they don't. They're still single since me.
Which is
also redeeming.
And when you have seen, when you have seen them, do you do the same thing? Do you play it up?
Yes,
like, I'm better without you.
No, not for this one that I'm thinking of because it ended very well.
Okay.
So I think that's also a wrinkle in all of this, is that how does it end and how does that play forward?
See, but I'm really bad and petty, I guess.
Oh, really?
Because my last...
No, you...
You wouldn't guess, right?
I would not
guess. I am a little bit. My last relationship, 10 years, we ended on a fine note.
Whoa. How could you say that? 10 years, yeah. And we ended on a fine note.
Well, I broke up. It was, well, and this is what infuriates me, and I still kind of have like issues about it, mm-hmm. is that he didn't do, he was just kind of like, okay. And I was like, we should break up. And it's kind of like, okay. So that, yeah, right?
That was his reaction to 10 years of dating?
Yeah, you would think that he'd be like, well, no, we should
fight for it.
Exactly. And he didn't.
Well, that actually, did it make it easier or worse for you?
Well, after, it was easy in the beginning, and subsequently after, as I kept thinking about stuff,
I'm right?
Like, well, wait, what the what?
What was he doing?
What? And I actually asked him later on, and he was just like, "Well, because I know you wouldn't change your mind, or you wouldn't." And I'm like, "Well, still,
fight for it, man.
Jeez, thanks a lot."
Is he with someone else now?
Yes.
Okay.
And I do the whole "I'm the best," whatever. Although I don't talk to them,
right?
So. If we're ever at parties together, I ignore them. Like, I pretend they don't exist.
Interesting. Yeah, that's healthy. Really healthy.
So, yeah. No, it is. Sure.
Yeah, it's interesting. There was an article I was reading about when we started to think about this for a subject. Mm-hmm. And you can text us, too, if you want the anonymity. You can give us a text.
Yeah, you don't have to give names.
Yeah, no. We won't read them.
You can change your name. We won't.
Yeah, exactly.
We won't know.
312-981-7200. Text or phone call. Can you be friends with your exes was like this article I read. And the number one thing was, if you do, you have to have like this cleansing period first. And that's what I always advise friends who are breaking up. You've got to give it like 3 to 6 months of complete no contact. That means deleting them off Facebook. Do not stalk them on MySpace. I don't know why I said that.
Friendster.
Yeah, Friendster, whatever it is. And then only then, when you've had that kind of division, are you able to maybe start to rebuild a friendship? That's what I think.
I did not have that. I still lived with him.
Whoa. For how long?
A few months.
Was it just because you were still in lease? Or?
Well, yeah, we were still, and it was like October.
For a few months?
Yeah. It sucked. It was not fun. So yeah, I didn't have that period of, we were seeing each other. Like we went out on dates with other people and.
Oh, my God.
So it was this thing. Yeah, I would come home and he wouldn't be home, and I'd get really mad. How weird is it?
I'm the worst. That's not weird, because that's I was going to say you're wondering, what's he doing out
there?
Right.
Who is he? Where is he?
And he's probably like at the ice cream parlor with his buddies trying to be like, oh, I'm out so late. She's going to think I'm with another girl. Oh, God.
Yeah, I'm real petty.
This conversation alone, not that I want to break up with Brett at all either, mm-hmm. but it makes me really just want to be like, I don't ever want to be single again. That sounds horrible.
I am so happy now. I'm with someone, and yeah, I'm just like, it was the worst to be single.
All right, 312-981-7200. I think we got to take a quick break, Esmeralda, but give us a call.
I'm going to stew.
You're going to stew. We're all going to stew, and we want you to stew with us. 720 WGM.
Well, look at that. You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. I'm here with John Hansen.
Yo.
For Dave Plyer.
Mm-hmm.
She said you have to let go.
Oh, I get it now.
I'm like,
Joey, does Dave talk about this stuff on his show? Exes?
Always.
Really?
Yeah. Always.
All Plyer's exes.
By the way, the Huffington Post had an article that said if your ex wants to be friends, they might be a psychopath.
Wait, really?
Which I agree.
I don't think it's abnormal to be friends with exes. Okay, I'll rephrase that. I don't think it's the norm. I don't think it is. If you look at the total number of exes in the world, I think more of them are not friends than they are friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's unusual. I don't think it makes you a psychopath. Why does that?
What's the reasoning? Someone did a study, and then so some people with these so-called dark triad personality traits, so mm-hmm. like narcissism, psychopathy.
Mm-hmm. Psychopathy.
There you go. They keep their exes around for strategic self-serving reasons.
Really?
Kind of makes sense.
Like the idea being of like, oh, I'm better than this person.
Right. Well, I mean, exactly what we were just talking about. Yeah, it is kind of a nice boost when you do see an ex and you're like, oh, I'm not doing so great.
I'm sure it's a very gray area though, because I think some people maybe keep their exes close enough to see that and to get to indulge a little bit in that.
Right, but then
not like make
healthy.
Them best friends. No, it's not healthy, but I think everyone engages in that a little bit. Especially younger, especially people that are new to that sort
right.
of thing. That
maybe Joey, no.
We're talking to you, Joey. Joey, we're prepping you. I'm glad you're in this great relationship.
How mean are we, though? We're like, when it happens,
when
Joey.
When it happens, Joey. Now, I'm sure she's a sweetheart, but when she's psycho and you have to dump her, here's what's going to happen. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know her.
She's a lovely woman.
No, I'm sure she's lovely.
We don't know her.
But totally, it's going to be terrible when you break up. No,
it's going to be the worst.
It's going to be the worst. No. 312-981-7200. We want to hear from you, your crazy ex stories. Are you friends with any exes? Now, here's an interesting thing. I imagine that this, for some listeners out there, if you're married with kids and get divorced, that's a whole other thing, right?
Yeah, and then an ex shows up
right.
on Facebook.
Right.
And then start talking to them.
Right.
And then the wife's like, what are you doing?
Do you scour the social media of your exes?
Sort of. I am Facebook friends with a few, but
really?
They never post.
Mm-hmm.
I've unfollowed some because I'm like, I don't want to talk to you.
That's
your boring life.
I don't want to see what's going on. No, I just don't want to, like, I think that when you're younger, you do not know how to close those things up better. And as you gain experience in life, you start to realize how harmful and hurtful it is, even if, you know, because Facebook's all a lie anyways, but you can't get past the fact that everyone portrays themselves so well on social media. But you learn, I think, because like now, if there's like someone I don't want to like see anymore, like an ex, it is so easy for me just to go, nope, no friends, and never check from them again.
No, it is. It actually is nice. Facebook is kind of, it's a therapeutic, like, cleansing. You can get rid of an ex and be like, bye.
Got a text from the 773. I've been single for over 12 years. I'm happy overall not having to deal with all this relationship drama. There are some things I miss, but I don't. I think she was going to say I don't miss everything,
still,
or he or she.
Still yeah,
they're still typing. We're reading it really live here. And I don't fault some people. I know some people that have been single for a very long time, and they find it's just more peaceful. They're more stable.
Right. And when I was single,
you were looking at what?
That phone number.
Okay.
No, when I was single,
were
I mean,
you reading
I was,
our phone number in case it was someone that was,
I was like,
your
is that,
ex?
Tim?
Which ex is calling?
No. But when I was single, I mean, I was trying to date. Mm-hmm. It was the worst ever.
Yeah.
And I think I should have probably just stopped dating.
Yeah. Just for like 12 years.
Center myself.
Yeah. I mean, 12 years is a long time to be single, but that's, I also think that we play into this stereotype that we have to always be dating. It's like, you know what? Honestly, there's so many people that are happy alone. Just kind of depends on how old you get. Okay, Tim, what do you got for us here on 720 WGN?
Oh, yeah. I don't think be crazy to be friends with exes. Everyone's got some crazy ex stories, but one of my exes I dated for quite a long time, and we just have a really tight group of friends, and we didn't really hang out a little bit for maybe 6-7 months after we broke up, but now we hang out quite frequently. We're always at the same gatherings, same get-togethers. I mean, we meet up at the bar every now and then with the same group of friends, and we're both in completely different relationships. And my girlfriend now is not a big fan of hanging out with my ex-girlfriend. But
right.
As she understands, I mean, it's a close group of friends, and it kind of, I think, it just happens that way sometimes. You can't really not be friends with that person after a while.
I imagine that cooling-off period helped make that work, right?
Right.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely needed. I needed to be away from that person. It kind of sucked because it was some some really close friends, but I couldn't hang out with that much because it was like, oh, do we invite her? Do we invite him? But, you know, it's only be one of them. But after that, I mean, everything's fine. It's completely cool now. You never know that we ever dated at this point.
I imagine also it depends on the kind of relationship. I imagine with her, Tim, when you guys were together, there was something there that was deeper than the superficial stuff. Like, you guys were actually really good friends as well.
Oh, yeah. I think we were pretty good friends. We just liked a lot of the same things, you know. I mean, we just hung out together all the time. So it definitely helped.
Yeah, except for the fact that, yeah, your current girlfriend doesn't like it. That's okay. I think it's understandable. Tim, thank you so much for the call. I think that's a very
I could see that, especially if they have a deep connection.
Right.
Because then she can, you know, you get jealous. These things happen.
You do,
you
or you
jealous.
Say something like, well, like you just, you throw the ammo every time you need it. Like,
right.
Well, you can talk to her about that stuff, yeah. But you can't talk to
but
me about
that
stuff.
But he did it right. He did the cooling off.
Got to do the cool off. Got to cool off.
I think that's the key.
Got to cool down before you get hot again. Well, I don't know what I'm saying. It's also, so I don't know how deep we want to go into this in terms of people like, I don't know. I never know what to bring up to listeners. Okay, so it's different. I don't want to say it's different because there's many similar things between in straight relationships and in gay relationships. But it's a smaller circle of people to work with in the gay community. I know a lot of people. Of friends of groups that I had, that it's almost like that high school thing where everyone has dated each other.
Right.
And there is a little bit, I'd say, and I don't want to speak universally, and if there's any other gay people out there that want to call and correct me, but and there's still jealousy, there's still all that stuff, but yeah. I do think that there is a little bit more separation. We're able to just not get so dramatic about it, and maybe it's just because of the circumstances. Like, there's a cluster of gay people we know, and that's who we have extended friends and friends of friends, but everyone knows everyone, it seemingly, so almost kind of have to swallow it and deal with it.
Yeah, well, and in Chicago, we're the biggest small town.
Exactly. No, and I don't really go out in Boys Town at all anymore, but when you did, for like 3 years, you eventually saw everyone, and you'd see them all the time.
And actually, my boyfriend right now, he dated a girl who a friend of mine dated, and another friend of mine dated.
Wait,
one girl.
Okay.
There's one girl, and she has a connection amongst
two
of my friends and my boyfriend.
Oh, she's
they
the
all
hub.
Dated her before, and it was weird. I was like, that's weird.
Mm-hmm.
We all know her.
262. Oh, nice. She's the hub. 262 says that he or she found it cathartic to make amends with exes over Facebook. I had many transgressions, so the messages were lengthy. Oh, I don't know about that 262. I don't know if I've had exes come to me looking to offer closure and apologies, and I just don't want to hear any of it. I don't care. I'm past it. And you bringing that up does not help. It doesn't make me feel better.
How long was it? That's the key.
Yeah, I don't know. That's another thing. And what kind of transgressions are we? I mean, we're probably talking about some cheating or some things like that. I mean, I'm just
especially if
wildly.
The messages were lengthy.
I don't know, Roger. How many exes you got, buddy?
They're all in Texas.
Oh, zing zong.
Texas is a big state.
Yeah, they're all over the place.
I mean, this is going a while. I mean, you're happily married. And
February will be 41 years married. Ooh. Plus a year of dating.
Right.
So,
yeah, you can't even remember that far back.
I had a couple of girlfriends. I was a late bloomer. I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
Or
as we call it, a Joey. Joey Gelman.
I
love the
Joey
to be known
before,
as the station now.
I was Joey before Joey.
you're hipster Joey.
Seriously. I was the geek moving overhead projectors. That was my life. Through high school. I did have a date for prom who I knew.
Was it a human?
I have to look at the pictures again. Hold
I'm just kidding, Rod.
No, I know. No, very, very sweet girl. Who I hadn't really dated. I'd gotten to know, just amongst the kids in the high school. But we hadn't even gone out on a date. That was our first date, actually.
The prom.
Prom,
quite a date.
Then in college, I didn't date. I mean, what is your definition of a of dating?
Oh, well, that's opening a whole other can of worms.
Oh, okay. I don't call it a date. It's like, you know, you hang out with a group of people, and then there might be one or two in the group that's like, hey, how you doing? You want to, you know, go have a drink? And
right.
You go have a drink, and you do that, da-do-da-da. And
Did you just yada? Did you come up with your own yada yada yada?
Yeah, something like that.
Da do da do da.
I call it hanging out, but okay.
Yeah, and that was in college, right. And I had been. Let me see. It'd been about a year or so, maybe about a year or so after I graduated, mm-hmm. that I started working in Bloomington Normal, mm-hmm. which is where I met my wife.
Okay. So
and,
you don't.
And we started dating, and right. I don't think I had a relationship with other women where I had more than a couple of dates.
Right, I see
and
what
it
you're
turned
saying.
Into something oh. serious.
So you're one and done, like Joey.
Well,
I don't mean
not
to like.
Necessarily. Well, it's just I never pursued it.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, you never went beyond. You never got deeply emotionally connected to anyone.
Yeah.
I guess that's what we're talking about here.
Until you yeah. found your wife.
Until you found her.
Yeah. And then I found someone who fell head over heels over me, and I oh. asked her to go see a doctor.
Oh.
Because I just couldn't believe it.
Right.
Neither
can we, Roger.
And that kind of.
Bless her heart.
Bless
yeah.
her heart.
To deal with you.
Because nobody else would have me.
No.
Seriously.
Oh,
it's kind of a charity
no.
case thing.
Oh, wow.
No, Roger, come on. Come on. No, that's wonderful. That's very sweet. I got X is like a mile long. I don't know.
I don't have that many, but still.
Yeah. I got to tell you some stories. I was just telling you, Esmeralda. I got a text from one this morning. I hadn't heard from this person in 3 years.
Drama.
I cannot read these texts. Anyway.
And we gonna live it up, so give me the green light, 'cause I'm ready to go.
This is 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. I'm here with John Hanson.
Yo, 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 yo.
We're in for Dave Plyer.
Yo, yo, yo.
I just, like, you're the hype man now. You're like,
yes,
yo, yo, yo.
How you doing, Chicago?
How long do you think you would last in a zombie apocalypse? Do you ever
think
about that?
A minute? No, I don't. I don't believe in zombies. I never do.
Do you watch any of the shows?
Nope. I do not get what the zombie craze is. Why do people like this so much? Why
it's frightening and exhilarating.
Zombies are just dead people coming back alive, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's that. And then there's the ones that are just diseased.
Mm-hmm.
Like in, if you've seen 28 Days Later.
Nope.
And that movie with Will Smith.
I am
Legend.
Oh, I am Legend. So they were never dead. They just.
I think they have some disease that zombifies them.
Okay.
And they get all crazy and want to eat people.
Okay.
So scientists at Argonne National Laboratory essentially did this simulation, and they found out that here in Chicago, by day 60, 2 million people would be zombified if a zombie apocalypse happens.
So 2 months.
Yeah.
And 2/3 of the city would be zombies.
Right.
Well, that's nothing. We have more than that over in Grant Park.
Right, I was going to say half of the Cubs rally would be zombified.
See, I think that's pretty good. 2 months, because in these shows and movies, doesn't it happen like so fast?
Yeah, it gets crazy. Yeah. It gets crazy. So I'm thinking we take a little quiz to see how long we would survive.
Oh, that's fun.
Oh, goody. Can we all play?
Yeah. Roger, I got a whole little tab open for you.
Ooh.
So we'll keep track of both of us.
I like being tabbed.
Well, not according to your one and done. No, anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
Not according to your yada,
you
yada,
and Joey. Yada. Yeah, you're do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, exactly. That's what you like. All right.
So all we got to do is choose all that apply, and we'll name them off.
This is the longest quiz
I've
ever seen.
But I'm sure some of these will be like, no, we can't do that. No.
Okay.
No.
So, Roger, I'm going to keep track for you and me, okay?
Okay. All right.
So, everybody, Joey, John,
yep.
Roger,
all right.
Choose all that apply.
All right.
I like camping.
I like camping.
No.
I'm okay with is it either like
or
don't like?
Roger, if you ask these questions for every damn question, we're going to
yay or nay, Roger.
You either like it or you don't, correct?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. I like camping.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. I can start a fire. Nope.
Nope.
Yes, I can.
Roger can start a fire.
No.
Joey cannot. Okay.
No. We're all, no. Okay. All right. I can start a fire from scratch. Nope.
No.
Nope.
Probably. I think I can, yeah.
Okay.
I can start a fire if shown how, probably.
You'd say it again?
I can start a fire if shown how, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could probably do that.
Yeah.
If you give me a little lesson, yeah, probably.
I can start a fire with a lighter. Yes.
Yes. I think so.
Okay. I would hope so.
All right, we're all good.
I am in pretty good shape. Nope.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
No, please.
You're pretty fit, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I've done nothing, so.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how about I am pretty healthy?
Yes.
No way.
I'll say
yes.
I'm going to go with a yes. I can carry 50 pounds.
Yes.
I'm going to say yes, too.
Okay. I would think so.
I can carry 75.
Yes.
Probably.
Yes. 100.
Yes. For short distance.
All right, I'll type for a short
sprint, not a marathon.
I carry a 100-pound person 5 feet, drop them, say, you're on your own.
Yeah.
That counts, yeah, right? 10 seconds.
I'll give him a check.
I can carry 150.
Right, no.
No, Roger.
Yeah, I'm going to go, no, that's a lot.
I could do 150.
That seems
like I don't know. That's heavy.
That's like a lot. That's a whole person.
I can do
and
that.
And more. I can cook. I can cook.
I can cook, Roger.
Oh, heck yes.
Well, that pasta, man.
Yeah, with my eyes closed.
Yeah.
I can cook over open flames.
Yes.
Yes. I know how to forage.
Yes. I don't know what forage means.
You know,
if you're
like
out in the forest, you can find foods and things to eat that you would not normally eat under normal circumstances.
There's food in the forest?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's where it doesn't all come from there.
That's where food comes from.
That's where food.
That's from the forest.
Camping.
From the enchanted forest. Okay.
I'm going to say
farm
no.
Farm to table.
So, there Roger, you say you can forage?
I think I can, yeah.
Okay, sure.
I'm going to go no because I don't even know what poison ivy looks like.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Poisonous things will just come eat me alive.
Exactly. I would eat them and then...
tree bark.
Yeah,
here's another. I know the difference between edible mushrooms and poisonous ones.
No
nope.
way.
No.
No okay. clue.
I know the difference between edible berries and poisonous ones.
Nope.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I know what poison oak looks like.
Nope.
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 We're
nope.
not doing well.
We're not mm-hmm. doing well.
I know how to hunt. Nope.
Yes.
Roger knows how to hunt.
I know how to do bow and arrow.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Wow. Good. You'll protect us.
Yeah. I am willing to hunt. Sure. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to.
They have to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know how to set a trap for small game. No.
Sure.
What?
I got a bow and arrow.
Roger,
what do you want?
I
want
to see a
I've
Roger.
Made an arrow.
Survivalist.
I'm just imagining him in the Hunger Games.
And I right? already asked questions about an open flame, so if it's... You know, if you don't know if it's a wild berry or a poisonous, you're going to cook the stuff anyway,
yeah.
so it's going to,
I don't
you know.
Think that's how poison works, Roger. Right. I don't think it just gets cooked out.
Yeah, we're not talking about E. coli, Roger. We're talking about poison.
How about, I know how to set a trap for large game.
No.
Yeah, no. I can't
stand
do
in front of it?
Yeah, I don't know. I know how to be a trap for large
game. Yeah, I know how to be bait. I can be bait. I know how to butcher and clean an animal.
Ooh, no.
No. Maybe fish.
I am but... willing to butcher and clean an animal.
Yes.
Sure, yeah. Why not?
I know how to farm.
Yep.
What? Roger.
I'm going to go no, because I tried to grow
Well, Bridget
basil.
Grew up on the farm, so.
Okay. Yeah, but we're not talking about Bridget, Roger.
Well, no, but we've been out there a lot.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
So
okay.
You couldn't grow basil, Esmeralda?
It wouldn't from
because that's what you want in zombie apocalypse. Basil.
I want
pesto.
A mozzarella.
Wolfsbane.
I want a caprese salad.
I want a caprese salad. I need basil.
I'm so hungry. For humans? No, caprese salad.
I know how to ride a horse.
I do.
Yes.
I do not.
I do.
Okay. You're Joe? Not doing well, Esmeralda.
I think so, yes.
You do. I can walk long distances.
Oh, I got yep. that down.
Yes. I can run fast.
No. I can run.
I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
I'm going yes.
What's fast? Like 100
you know,
miles an hour?
Roger, I am
flash?
Not clicking.
Fast.
Roger, I've seen you go from the newsroom to the break room. And the only way you're going there fast is if there's a big chocolate
you know,
cake in
if
there.
You
so
got
I'm
a Pokemon
gonna...
Go, I got to go yeah. after. I'm there.
I always have a good sense of my surroundings.
Yes. No way. Okay, no. Roger, yes. All right.
I got to know. I know how to jump start a car.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
I don't know. I didn't want to
jump start a car?
I can't. I don't know how.
No.
You don't have gas for the darn thing anyway, so no.
I can't.
Joe?
What, jump a car? No clue.
I know how engines work.
No.
I have no idea.
I know how they work, but I can't make them work.
Okay, but yeah. All
but
right.
you know
I know the
idea.
Concept
you know the idea.
The combustion
okay.
engine, sure.
Oh.
Okay. Well,
wow,
good.
Roger. I know how to siphon gas.
Yes.
I think I do.
You just suck in a tube.
Right.
You
and
just did a tube, and you got it. You're fine then.
There you go.
It's no problem.
Oh, here, Roger. This one might be hard for you. I can be really quiet.
He passes.
Oh, look at that.
There.
Now
very
he's going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm okay being alone.
Yes.
I'm
yes.
Say yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I'm okay. I work best in a group.
No.
No, say
not really.
Sure.
Okay, Roger. I'm yes.
oh, good. Team leader.
I had to be in one of my jobs. I was in charge. I was in charge of 10 franchisees for our
oh,
advertising
wow.
committee
oh,
dealing with a multi-million dollar budget. So,
oh, wow.
yep.
And you taught children, too. So.
Oh, good Lord. I forgot about that. Well, I keep trying to forget, please.
How about that? I'm willing to eat canned food.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I'm willing to eat canned food with no expiration date.
Yeah, sure.
That's fine. I mean, it's a zombie apocalypse. I know how to use
and
a gun.
You're going to be dead anyway, so what the heck?
Yeah. I know how to use a gun. I don't.
Not a musket, but I can
not
do
a musket? What?
No, I don't know how to use a musket.
Are we in the Civil War?
Anything post Civil War, I could probably use.
I know how to make my own explosives.
No.
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 I think, is the NSA listening?
Cause they're right.
I know how to use a shotgun. I do not.
Okay, Rogers, yes, no, I don't know how to use a shotgun.
No, me either.
I know how to make booby traps.
I saw Home Alone.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know how to put
a paint can and I'm good to go.
I'm actually going to say no to that one. Roger, that's a yes for you?
I can do that,
okay.
Sure.
Okay.
I know how to use a rifle.
Yeah?
I do not.
Yeah. Nope. Mm-mm. I know how to throw a knife.
Yep.
I mean, if you just throw it.
You know where I learned that from?
For sure.
I learned that from my first roommate in college.
How to throw a knife?
Seriously.
What?
He was from a small Illinois town in the southern part of the state. And he would sit in his bed with this huge Bowie knife. And there was this really cheap bulletin board hanging on the wall. And he just chucked that thing right into the board and into the wall. And he'd get up, he'd go get it again and pry it out and then sit down on the bed and just boom.
Yep. So
and he has no problem with his exes.
Yeah.
I don't think
he's got any. How about you know how to wield a knife?
How to handle it?
Yeah.
Sure.
How else do you not?
Yes,
how to handle it and throw it.
Wield a sword.
Oh, well.
I got a no on
that. No, I'm going to go with a no on that.
I've watched enough Errol Flynn movies. I think I could do that.
We'll give you a
yes. I know how to fight.
I do not know.
I will say yes.
I do not.
I'm scrappy.
No, I'm terrible.
Martial arts.
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
This is a yes for Roger. Use a bow and arrow.
Yep.
I do too. I took a class.
Okay.
How to use a crossbow?
Nope.
Yep.
Oh.
Roger. I want Roger on my team.
Roger's going to be the leader, I think. Uh-huh. Use a grenade.
Sure. Pull the pin you throw.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Okay, then I can.
Yeah.
Dress a wound, I guess.
Depending on what materials I got, but yeah.
I don't know how to
Well,
dress
I mean,
one.
What are you going to do? Slap some mud on it?
Yeah, that's
yes.
Then, yeah,
and some
I'm
leaves.
Good to go.
Okay.
How to make a tourniquet. I got to know.
No.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, Roger.
Well, you got to just tie it tight.
Yeah.
Know where the major arteries in the body are located. Yeah.
Sort of.
I'll say no.
So I'm going to say no. I have an idea.
Know how to make medicine from herbs and plants.
Nope.
No way.
No, yeah, no. I'm close to my family.
I am close to my family.
I can
family.
Say yes. Sure. I would do anything to protect them. Yeah.
Sure.
I value all human life.
Yep.
I'm willing to give people the benefit of the doubt.
No.
No.
Yeah, no. No. I am untrustworthy of others. Yes, I am.
See, I trust people way too much.
I am willing to steal.
Of course, yes.
If I've got crazy people running after me and wanting to kill me.
How about that? I'm good at stealing.
I'm not good at stealing.
No.
No.
We got to take a quick commercial break, but why don't we finish this quiz up? This is
the longest quiz, but it's
entertaining.
We'll keep going, and then when we get back,
we'll finish.
We'll see where we are.
720 wow. WGN.
You're listening to 720 WGN. I love the look on your face, Mr. John Hansen.
This is Walking Dead soundtrack.
Yes, it's the theme song. I'm Esmeralda Leanne, John Hansen.
Yo, yo, yo.
In for Dave Plyer. We just finished taking the zombie, how long we would last.
It was fun trying to answer the rest of the questions for Roger without asking him.
Some of these got real deep.
Roger, you could kill family members, right, if they were zombies?
With my eyes closed.
Oh, boy. I was telling John, this one's very, ties in everything right now. I can kill a zombie that was once my significant other.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. I'd be like, see ya.
Do you even need the word zombie in there for that?
Right.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Like, no, he was uninfected. Like, oops. Yep. No, he looked it. He said.
I swear, right? Did he say that?
And then, so I came out with 6 months.
So did I.
Oh, well,
there
we're
going
to be together.
We're going to be together.
How did I do?
Roger, you're going to make it a year.
Oh,
I'm going to make it a year?
It's almost as if you were born for this. However, the fact that so many around you died made you worse for the wear. In the end, it wasn't the zombies that got you.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was the lack of humanity.
Oh. But Joey?
I answered yes, I could be alone. I'll be like the guy from
Yeah, but you probably had
Twilight
to kill
Zone.
Me and John.
Yeah, you had to kill us.
At the six-month mark, so...
For you and I, Esmeralda says we have the makings of bona fide survivors, but our enthusiasm and willingness to adapt may bite you in the butt. That is, if a zombie hasn't already done it. More than likely, we're going to charge headfirst into a zombie fight, finding out that you've bitten off more than you can chew. Probably lasts a good 6 months. more than enough time to learn how to properly hunt right before you meet your demise.
Well, at least I learned a new skill.
Get it? Bitten off more than you can chew.
Yeah, I would. That sounds about right. I would run into it like, yeah, I'm going to get them, and then they just eat me.
I think the fact that you didn't know how to clean a fish would really hurt you in the zombie apocalypse.
I would just have someone else do it. I'd have Roger do it.
Joey, did you finish it or no?
Yeah, I only last a few months. I'm not doing very well.
So Joey's first.
You have a solid set of base skills, but it may be too little too late. Still, you are willing to do more than originally thought, so there may be some hope for you. More than likely, you will last only a few months, which is more than enough to witness the horror that is watching those you love turn into flesh-eating zombies.
Oh, boy.
Have fun.
Would you eat Joey if you had to, Esmeralda?
No. I think that was part of my demise.
You wouldn't do any of the human flesh stuff?
No, I wouldn't. No.
Well, you know, if there was a nice Chianti and and just fried just right.
I would just,
I'd go great with a Merlot, actually.
Yeah. Oh, Merlot? Okay.
I would be a vegetarian.
Really?
We're still in the world.
You wouldn't eat human flesh to survive, even if you cooked it?
Yeah, but there's stuff. And we can move around.
Stuff.
We're not on top of the Alps where there's nothing.
Oh, like in the movie Alive?
Right.
Right.
There's still, you know, things growing.
Yeah, but
growing
what if all of the food, you know, cows and chickens, all the livestock has been poisoned?
You
what
know
are
there's
you
vegetables,
do?
Roger.
Yeah.
There is
I do like if
things
I,
growing you can eat.
It really escalated quickly. If you couldn't forage and didn't know how to fish, the only other option was eating
fish.
Humans.
I can fish. I just can't clean it. Because it's gross.
Yeah, I didn't get the list where it went, can you know you can kill a zombie, to the next question going, can you sew?
Can you?
I don't get how that made the
I
list
can't
in that
sew.
Order.
Well, if your arm starts falling off, you need to sew it back
oh,
on.
That's true.
Ooh, that's a good point.
I just figured they were knitting as they walked along the path.
Well, also, I think what hurt me is the, oh, no, wait, I did this wrong.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
I clicked, I am not scared of the dark. I so am.
So you'd last
yeah,
last
I clicked
time.
That I wasn't, but I am.
Roger,
I'm
I said you were not scared of the dark or forests, right?
I'm not afraid of the forest, and I'm not afraid of the dark.
What
right.
about
okay. I think so.
The forest at?
Forest at night.
At night.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
I'm
very scared.
I'm there during the day. What changes?
I'm very scared. I don't own a compass, and I can't navigate by the stars or read a map. So I would.
Do you know where the sun comes up and where the sun goes down?
The sky.
No, wait. Actually, all right. Let's quiz you.
In
where
the
does
sky.
The sun go?
Oh,
where does the sun come
no.
up?
No, Juliet is the east.
In the east.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
okay. Well, you work overnight, so I mean that's understandable.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
It's up.
Behind the moon.
Yeah, Roger. I think you did pretty good here.
No, Roger's right. gonna outlive us all, because he's gonna either kill us, or
no. I'll just wait until you guys just fall down.
Oh, great!
That's
thank
all.
You.
Yeah.
Then and then you'll eat us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll cook you up. Yeah.
Yep.
Then I'll can you.
Right.
Because you know they said in Kent you eat canned food.
Right.
He knows
right.
how to can.
Right.
Yeah, and you know how to keep it cool. You dig holes in the ground. You put it down. You go down about 2 feet, and it keeps
yeah,
things
no.
really cool.
Speaking
you're
going to
break
experience
into the binnies
here, Roger.
Yeah,
get that wine and eat
I've
us
I've been
all.
Practicing.
Cool.
Breaking into the binnies.
We won't talk go into details, but I've been practicing.
For the zombie apocalypse?
We're not talking about that.
312-981-7200, would you survive the zombie apocalypse? What skills do you have that you think would work really well in the zombie apocalypse? Or what faults do you have that you think wouldn't?
Yeah, I don't know if I don't think I would.
I wouldn't be able to. How do you tell what a zombie from an odd zombie? Well, I guess they walk
they
with
make,
a hunch and
right, and they just go.
Okay,
they
so it's pretty
any,
obvious right away.
How do they go again?
Good. So
okay.
It's not like an ID thing. They're not gonna like sneak it by you, like where there's where they try and get
like,
in.
I'm not a zombie.
Yeah, please.
Psh. Actually, they could because they could have just been bit.
Okay, so they
and then they're hiding the bite,
okay.
And then eventually they will turn and then eat you.
Okay, but it's not like they're trying to sneak to get in the room or something
no,
like that.
No, it's not
that.
Like zombies are like, no, I'm fine, and then
totally
their arm
fine.
Falls off. And they go, no, this was like how it was before.
Flesh wound, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. I don't know. I just am not in the zombie thing, but I'll have to try it.
It is a weird, morbid question when people talk about that stuff.
You know who likes zombies is Blake Stubbs.
Mm.
And that was a great transition. Not really. That was a terrible transition, but... Blake's going to be joining us in the next hour, so we thought we'd talk about, so we fall back with the time, right? So mm-hmm. It's only 3 o'clock now. We have fallen back. So we're going to talk about movies with Blake Stubbs. He's a critic. He lives out in California. And we're going to talk about movies that are your fallback options, movies that you can watch over and over again that if you're in a whatever you're in a mood or something, or you just want to watch something good, and it gets better every time you watch it, even if you know every single damn line, you like it. A fallback movie or TV show or something, okay? So that's coming up soon.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
Now I want popcorn.
With M&M's in it.
With M&M's in it? I've done Reese's Pieces in it.
Okay. You make it sound like I'm a freak.
No, I know.
How dare you?
I know. I realized I was saying that. That does sound so good right now.
Yeah, some chocolate and the sweet and the salty.
I have chocolate up here.
Yeah, but we want popcorn.
Do you have popcorn? Do you movie popcorn?
No.
Joey, nope, get us popcorn.
There is one bag of M&M's up here, though.
Joey, get us some movie popcorn.
Yeah, from a movie theater, please.
From a movie theater right now, please. Thank you. 720 WGN, Esmeralda Leon and myself, John Hanson, hanging out with you here and joining the conversation is Blake Stubbs, movie critic. How you doing, Stubbsy?
Hey, doing all right. How about you guys?
Good. Have you ever done the popcorn with treats inside of it?
You know what? I have once. I've done the Reese's Pieces, and I have done Skittles, but I cannot say the Skittles worked out too well. Reese's Pieces, good option, but Skittles are my personal movie candy.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I'm going to try it with everything, and that, those two for me just don't, no, doesn't work. Can't do it. Not going to do it again. Never. But the Reese's Pieces idea, that went pretty far, and yes. I can advise that one try it.
Yeah, the chocolate, the chocolatey with the buttery and the salty sounds good. The Skittles sounds terrible. You know what I like?
Yeah,
movie theater. I know this is nothing what we're going to be talking about, but you know my favorite movie theater. Actually, people can chime in with whatever the heck they want to. 312-981-7200. Favorite movie candy. I'm always curious about this. We talked about Halloween candy, but it's different in the theaters.
Yeah.
I like snow caps.
You know what? They're not the worst. And again, good in popcorn.
Yeah.
I like Sour Patch Kids.
Nobody understands the snow cap, though. I like them, too, and they always bash
the
humble snow cap.
The humble snow cap.
That's the new Disney movie coming out next fall.
The humble snow cap. Yeah, they've run out of princesses. They're just, the humble snow cap. Okay, we are talking with Blake Stubbs about falling back. So the time changed, so we fell back. It's 3:08 in the morning, and we're talking about movies that are your fallback movies, the movies that you can go to again and again, maybe guilty pleasures, right, Blake? That's what we're kind of aiming for?
Yeah, absolutely. And some of these are the ones that I, you know, immediately thought of, you know, movies I've seen over and over again, whether because they were, you know, syndicated on television. And when when they come on, you immediately think, I'm going to watch that, oh, this is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Or something where it's like, I've always thought it's interesting to get people to admit the movie they've seen more than most.
Okay.
And it's something that like, they're afraid to admit it.
Ooh.
You know, like the Weekend at Bernie's. Of like, you know, like, oh, I've seen Weekend at Bernie's 8 times. Like, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, wow, really? You sat through Weekend at Bernie's 8 times? Like, where's this guy's medal or gal's medal? Like, get him something.
Yeah, why? What did you miss the first 6 times that you really needed to get out of the 7th and 8th times?
I mean, yeah. So it's one of those things where I always thought that's kind of an interesting conversation piece. I mean, you know, because most people can tell you they've seen The Big Lebowski at least 4 or 5 times.
Mm-hmm.
If they have seen it. You know, like, it's not a movie that somebody's just seen one time.
Right.
And because of the cult following, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's so quotable. It's like a new generation Caddyshack type thing where, you know, like, everybody's seen it 3 or 4 times at least. And, I mean, in my case, I'm probably up to about a dozen.
First seen The Big Lebowski, okay.
Yeah, and it's just so funny. It's just, it's one of those things where there's not a person in the movie that I don't like as far as actors go. It's kind of an out of the box movie for the Coen brothers, which I'm a huge Coen brothers fan, but at the same time, it's so laugh out loud funny. There's always some moment in the movie that will get me every single time. And you can't watch it when it's on TV. Okay. First of all, it's very R rated. If you're not familiar with The Big Lebowski and have somehow lived under a cinematic rock, we're here to help you out. Watch that movie, watch it uncut. And just sort of kick back and relax. And you may find that you don't like it. If I recall correctly, Roger Ebert didn't enjoy it the first time he saw it. Years later, after, you know, the cult following and they started having Lebowski fests all over and it became this sort of thing and found shelf life outside of the movies, the actual, like, you know, silver screens, the actual Cineplexes, he sort of revisited it and felt like it was a movie that, you know, at the time it just didn't make sense. It was a mess. But over time, it has aged and turned into something wholly different from what it was that first time he saw it. And I think a lot of people will find that, and it becomes one of those rewatchable modern classics in a way.
All right, so we're looking for those
type of movie.
Yeah. So we're looking for those ones that you will watch over and over again, maybe Guilty Pleasures, Rainy Day, you're going to watch it even though you know you should watch something new. Sometimes I'm watching some of these movies and I'm like, why don't I just watch something new? But there's something familiar about it that makes you, so this isn't a movie, but for me, I watched The West Wing. This is so embarrassing. I can't fall asleep in life in general without The West Wing playing on my laptop in bed with me. Like, it's getting actually a little worrisome for me.
Is it any episode?
I just plow through them all. And what it is I know the episode so well. I don't like not having any noise in the bedroom when I sleep. Mm-hmm. I need a little white noise. So I literally have the laptop. I play the episode wherever I left off. I lay down. I turn the screen off. And I listen to The West Wing as I go to bed. And I've done that, and I'm not kidding. I've done that every night for like 3.5 years now.
Wow. So you're lulled by the sounds of political.
Yes. Is that weird? That's so weird, right?
I mean, whatever floats your boat.
Too weird. I'm the same way with Frasier, for that matter. I mean, Frasier is a show where I can just throw an episode on, even in the later years where I'm not as much of a fan of the show as I was of the early, you know, like set six seasons. Mm-hmm. Throw one of those episodes on. For some reason, when the Kells talks or David Hyde Pierce says something funny, I mean, it's one of those things where it makes me feel at ease.
But
and again, like, I've seen the show so many times,
right?
Like, you know, it's not like I'm minimizing the show by having it be something I go to sleep to. It's
no.
A security blanket.
It's comfort.
You just feel relaxed. You know, those characters' voices, you know it.
Yeah,
I'm just amazed though that you guys seek it out. It's not just on TV. Like, you guys have episodes and you're watching them one after the other.
Yes. No, I will plow through it. And when I get to season 7, episode 22, tomorrow, I go back to the pilot and start over again.
Goodness.
Like, I know you say that, but I this is every night when I'm alone in bed every night.
Mm-hmm.
So without Brett, because he'd be like, turn that crap off.
Do you dream about West Wing?
No, I don't think so. But it's weird. Tonight I will put it on and I will lay there until I fall asleep. Is that weird?
That's kind of adorable.
Every single night, the same show. I should really pick some new ones. But see, with the new show, then I'm like, I'm kind of curious what's happening. I'm trying to listen to the dialogue. With West Wing, I'm like, well, I've already been to this like 26 times. I know exactly. I could like recite it all. So 312-98.
It's an autopilot.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
So film or TV shows, 312-981-7200. What are your comfort films? What are your things that you fall back on in honor of the clocks falling back? Esmeralda?
For me, the one I've seen the most in my life is Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I know that movie from top to bottom.
That's a good one.
Yeah. That's a good one.
Is it where you seek it out or that it's just in the background, you'll watch it?
If it's in the background, I'll watch it. It was at the Music Box a year or two ago, and I went to see it. And I remember I hadn't seen it in a little bit, and I could still...
Every line?
I knew every line because I watched as a kid. I watched it every day.
For me, there's also, those ones that you watch as a kid. I could, whether it's Wizard of Oz or Little Shop of Horrors, I used to watch those every single day, my parents say, to the point of wearing out the VHS. And I hadn't seen Little Shop of Horrors for like 10 or 15 years, the movie. And I watched it. I knew every single word to it because it has been ingrained inside of me.
Yeah, and it's comforting. Again, it's that whole, you've seen it so many times, and it's like, oh, it's a
comfy reminds you
sweater.
Of a simpler time.
Yes.
Joey, are there any out there for you?
I go with usually if it's on TV or anywhere, National Treasure is always one I really love to watch.
National Treasure?
Yep.
National Treasure. That's interesting. I can defend this completely.
Okay.
I've seen this movie only twice. Okay, I caught it like segments of it when it was on TV. It had a pretty good run there where it was being shown. And then a friend sat me down one night and made me watch it. And because again, like I'm touch and go with Nicolas Cage. Like some things I think he's perfect in, some things I don't. And I was just like, National Treasure, whatever. I gave it a full, sat down, got some popcorn, kept my candy separate, but sat down and watched it. And I completely fell into that world. And I felt like it was a cool place to go for, you know, a couple hours. And I don't know that we need, like, a whole franchise, you know, four sequels. I know there's only been one sequel, but that first movie was fun. I mean, it was kind of like a less action-packed Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you had, you know, Sean Bean was in the movie. I'm a big Sean Bean fan. I mean, you know, there were elements outside of just Nicolas Cage that made me want to watch it. And you know, even though some of the history is, like, kind of, you know, like, played with a little bit for the sake of making the movie work, it definitely, you know, takes you somewhere.
Yeah.
That you otherwise have probably not really been.
Joey, you know, was it something you remember about watching, or that you watched as a kid or something?
I mean, I watched it when I was younger, but I think it's just more of what he's talking about, that world I can go into, the fact that there's all these little secrets that make up, you know, the U.S. or whatever the world history is. And I always thought it was very cool that while some of them may not be real, to think about, oh, if you go in the Library of Congress, you'll find the President's Book of Secrets, and there's this whole other world you don't know about.
You're exploring.
Yeah.
The 847, this is one I can relate to. The 847 chimes in. They're the same way with Columbo. And Columbo is every time that if this person's on a plane and they hear it, they feel like everything is okay. And I've seen every episode 10 to 20 times. I don't know about it. I think I might have made up the part about the plane. There's a word plane in there. That might be autocorrect. But yes, Columbo makes you comfortable. And okay, so that's another TV show. And I feel like TV shows lend themselves to this as well, the episodic nature of them.
The long form movies.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
There's something too to mention. There's a lot of some of this is director based, I think, in a lot of ways. You know, the creative mind of a director and your familiarity with their work. And sometimes you find out that, like, something that's very rewatchable, you know, or the rewatchability of something has to do with, oh, well, it's like one of my favorite directors that did it. For example, Robert Zemeckis, you know, here's three movies he did that, you know, maybe the listener out there right now doesn't know that he did all three of these. He did Forrest Gump. Mm-hmm. He did Back to the Future. He did Who Framed Roger Rabbit. And he also did, what's the other one that I just pulled it up? You know, I'm sorry.
Well, the first three you've got already are, yeah. You're absolutely right. Like Forrest Gump.
They're huge.
Anytime that comes on TV, I'll watch the whole thing.
Yeah. No, ditto.
Right. Romancing the Stone, which had a lot of play on television. But it's one of those things where, like, as you see his career grow, and he's a big-time producer, you know, he's collaborated with Spielberg a lot of times, who also has very rewatchable films, in my opinion. Jaws, Jurassic Park. You know, you get into these big movies, the Indiana Jones films. These are all movies that you could just pop on and you know them because you've seen them before. And they could be your white noise, much like you were describing how The West Wing is before you go to sleep. It could be while you're, you know, cleaning the house. You know, these are things that you don't have to feel like you have to pay attention to, so they just become fallback movies.
Good.
You know, which is sort of the whole, I thought, purpose of our topic discussion.
Good timing, Blake. At 815 says, Back to the Future. After countless viewings, I still tear up during the scene when Marty plays Johnny B. Good. Side note, Marty McFly goes Back to the Future the night of October 26, 27, 1985. And that was the night we turned our clock backs. I remember because my daughter was born that night. Oh, that's very sweet.
Wow.
The 815 chimes in and said, I've seen The Fifth Element 30 times.
That's another movie. If it's on, I'll just sit and watch it. It's not even that good to me, but for some reason.
That was a movie that I was very late to the party on. I was a Luc Besson fan for a very long time, but for some reason that one just slipped through the cracks. And one day a friend made me, you know, this is how I got into having great conversations about movies. People recommend stuff to me. I recommend things to people all the time, whether they listen or watch, I don't know. But people always come to me, they're like, have you seen The Fifth Element? Somebody did. And I said, you know what? No, I've never seen it. Totally blew my mind. A whole lot of fun and has such rewatchability. I know somebody who's seen that movie more than any other film over and over again, and it is probably their, you know, go-to fallback movie. Me and the wife watched The Fifth Element.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
There's some comedies I have in this list we're going to get to in just a second. Blake, you can stick around, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
All right, 312-91-7200. We'll be right back on 720 WGN. Oh, Back to the Future, this incredible score and this incredible song. Oh, That just gives me chills every time I hear it. Now I want to go home and watch that. Talking about movies that make you feel comfortable, movies that bring you back, your fall back movies here on the Time Change Fall Back Sunday morning. Oh, my God. I just caught a cough. Okay. Blake Stubbs, sorry, bud. That song, though, man, that gets you going, right?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? I think at the time that was the largest orchestra ever assembled to record a score for a film. And it shows, like,
yeah.
It's kind of a timeless song. I mean, it's one of those things where you hear it, you immediately know what it's from.
And speaking
and,
of...
And you really feel bad if something
yeah.
doesn't.
And, you, and speaking of music, Judy wants to chime in. Judy, you pick your guilty pleasures, what, based on the music, right?
Oh, yes. I'm able to listen to a lot of movies now because I just got the remote control that you talk to.
Oh, yeah.
And being told.
Yeah.
See, this opens up a whole new world for me because I have no sight.
Really?
Yeah, I was born blind.
Wow, that's...
I listen to... I've got a few favorite actors, but I love the movie Lonesome Dove. I watch that quite a bit because I like Robert Duvall and Tommy Lee Jones.
Oh yeah, Tommy Lee Jones. Now that's Judy, that's so fascinating. You know, you grew up blind watching movies. So then, what is it? You know, people often have different things they like about actors and actresses, but obviously you're limited a bit to their voices and the emotion from their voices. So what is it about an actor and actress that makes you gravitate towards them?
Sometimes I think it's the way they speak, where they come from, like. And then, of course, I listen to, I don't know if you ever heard of this movie. They show it on, they have it on demand for free. I like Tom Selleck. And he has two good movies, Crossfire Trail, which is very good. It's a very good story.
Mm-hmm.
And then Last Stand at Saber River. And I think the reason I like those two, I love the music in both of them because the music sounds Irish.
Hmm.
Although I'm not Irish, but I like the music. And I think with a lot of people that don't see, you know, like if they show like a sad scene, they'll play sad music. If a happy scene, happier music. But I've always, and a lot of times before if I can get the book, I'll read the books first. And then one movie, though, I did find very difficult to follow was Dances with Wolves.
Okay.
Because it was very, even though he described everything, I like him a lot. I always have, but it's just that, you know, it wasn't video descriptive, so I just sat there and I just had to listen.
Right. Yeah. Judy, it's that's such a fascinating perspective. I just, you know, when I think of movie scores, they enhance emotion, but I mean, for you, in a lot of scenes, that they're the only way you may be able to derive emotion from it.
Yeah, and if I have like a family member with me, I'll ask him, oh, is he good looking or tall? Because I like Gregory Peck movies too.
Yeah,
I always loved his voice, and because I go, you know, of course, more by the voices. And
you can't beat Gregory Peck's voice.
Oh, I know, he's got a gorgeous voice. Him and Richard Chamberlain.
Oh yeah. Right, Blake, what, you got any favorite voices out there that you like, obviously, Blake?
Two in particular. One, because he can disguise and change his voice so well, that's Gary Oldman. If you go through the entire, you know, his entire career, there's a few big roles that stick out. His Mason Verger from Hannibal, when he is in True Romance, and then you get to something like Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy. Those all sound like three unique individuals, but it's one guy. And the other, oddly enough, I could listen to The Man Read the Phone Book. You mentioned The West Wing. Richard Schiff.
Oh, yeah.
One of those actors where, you know, I would love to see him in a play. I would love to see him on stage live in person. A chance to hear that voice and watch him emote and do what he does best. You know, he's classified as like a character actor to a lot of people. You know, other than being a key player on The West Wing, he's had a lot of roles throughout his career, but there's something in his voice, the way he talks, and Philip Seymour Hoffman would be another one. He's certainly got a voice in the way he used his voice to change from character to character. I mean, listen to something from like Capote and then go into, I don't know, the Mission Impossible 3. I mean, the way he carried himself was all through his voice. And that's a sign of a truly great actor, you know, being able to change from one thing to another. And, you know, a lot of those English actors can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I find it interesting, Judy, you told us that you do not have sight, and yet every one of the movies or shows or anything you mentioned is a Western, which is one of the truly, I think, the truly, and I had a discussion on Facebook the other day about this, the truly greatest cinematic genre of film. You know, expansive landscapes, all these, and you're transported as much as I am when I watch them.
Oh, sure.
That's fascinating to me.
Oh, yeah, and they talked more, too, in those, you know, those TV shows where...
Yes.
That's why a lot of, you know, people that don't really appreciate comedy because we don't know what they're laughing about because it's facial expression. And, of course, I like... One of Nick DiGiulio's old favorites, too, I watch a lot, is Rich Man, Poor Man.
Mm-hmm.
I love that show, and they're going to I do that on demand. And I read the book years ago, so I knew what it was all about. So,
Judy, that's fascinating. I don't know. Do you ever watch any, like, so we were talking about West Wing. I don't know if you're familiar or you enjoy any Aaron Sorkin stuff because of his dialogue is just so quick.
I don't remember him.
Yeah, he did... Blake, what are some other Aaron? Oh, A Few Good Men.
A Few Good Men was a big one. It was a play that got adapted into a film, and then with Jack Nicholson, Tom Cruise, and then you also have The Newsroom, which was on HBO, and there was a very short-lived Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Right.
That was a one-season show.
Oh, and the Facebook movie too.
Yeah, and The Social Network. He wrote the script for The Social Network, but I believe that was a partnership.
Oh, okay.
Job. He also, I think, had a hand in. He did not have a hand in Moneyball, but Steve Zaillian, who was kind of like a writing partner with him. They definitely have collaborated, and it's one of those things where his dialogue is so known for being very fast, and yet very you get enveloped in what's going on just through words. It's all based on the words. And, you know, The West Wing pioneered the walk and talk along, you know, camera movements with the actors just walking and talking.
Right.
But it's one of those things where, like, to John and I, who are big West Wing heads, and I know that there are many others out there, it's like sweet music to us.
Right, it is.
To hear those voices and to hear them speak that way. There's another writer, David Mamet, who you know, he alienates some audiences. But if you go back to the earlier works that he did, he would use a metronome to direct his actors.
Oh, yeah.
So that they would follow a rhythm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of writers who think of in that in terms of, like, you're going to write dialogue and you're going to write words people have to say to communicate a story. It should be like listening to music so that they can follow along much easier. And so, I love that you love Westerns. Your taste is very good. I think that you definitely... Oh, no, hey, look, I love talking about this stuff, and this is a whole new perspective.
I know, and it's so hard to find somebody, you know, who can tell you, you know,
yeah.
How they look.
I find your perspective so fascinating. We got to scoot away to news, so sure. Judy, thank you so much for the call today.
Sure, John. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, anytime. Call in anytime. I love that perspective. Judy, thank you so much. Blake, can you stick around through the news?
You know it.
Oh, yeah. Blake's going to stick around. We're going to talk more about your comfort movies and really any questions you have about movies because Blake has seen them all. Okay. Wasn't that fascinating to hear? It's just such a different, I don't know, just a different perspective.
Yeah.
Oh, no, completely. And, you know.
And I'll tell you this, and this is where we talked about A Few Good Men, and I know it was adapted from the play,
yes.
Which makes some of the best movies, many of the movies that win Best Picture for the Academy Award have been adapted from plays.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw that in the theater, and the light went out on the projection. The sound kept going, but it was so well written, as a stage play must be, that
I was still enthralled by it. I was still within the movie, mm-hmm. even though all I could do was hear the dialogue. The rest of the audience, the goofs around me, were coming, hey, fix it, we can't see it. Well, yeah, dummy, why don't you just shut up and listen to it? I remember that moment because I became so incensed that that others around me, I need to calm down. I was that upset about it. Seriously, I'm trying to listen to the dialogue because I could care less. They could have put up Gumby on the screen as a visual, but I'm listening to the dialogue. And so what she was saying makes total sense.
Right. When did you get you some popcorn and some Reese's Pieces?
Yeah,
Roger, to calm me down.
Calm me down, yeah.
Go ahead, Blake. What were you going to say?
Aaron, I was just going to say, you know, that's a testament to how Sorkin's writing, you know, falls into play with being able to listen to it and know what's going on. But we're also, you know, speaking on a medium where all we are is sound right now. And think back to when they did The Shadow and Little Orphan Annie and any kind of Western, you know, story on the radio. That's how America and, you know, in many places of the world got their entertainment. So when people are like, it's the screen and everything. Okay, first of all, I'd be sitting there like restless because I'm a movie guy and I want the whole experience. I don't want it interrupted. I want to make sure that it's, you know, is from start to finish.
Right.
I don't want to miss a moment or a frame. But it's all in the sound. Take a horror movie. Take the best horror movie you've ever seen and turn the sound off. Completely different experience.
Hmm.
You don't even care what's going on. Put the sound on and maybe, you know, lose the image for a little bit. I mean, horror movies are mostly dark, you know, for the most part, in a lot of ways, you're still going to be engaged. And so it's an interesting thing to see it one way versus the other. And so I think it is. I think it's pretty fascinating.
Cool. All right, Blake, thanks. You're going to hang around here. And Roger, we're a little late to you, but this is a fascinating discussion.
Yeah.
It's 3:35 in the morning. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Here's Roger Banish.
I can see myself flying already. Pew, pew, pew.
That's just the marijuana. No, I'm just kidding. No. 720 WGN. I don't know where I pulled that from. Don't do drugs. So Blake Stubbs is with us. Blake Stubbs is a movie critic and lives out on the West Coast. And Blake, this kind of has devolved into a conversation. Not devolved, evolved into a conversation about the sound of music. I guess that's a pun waiting to happen.
Well,
but we're talking about familiar things, and I guess, score really is important. What is your favorite? Do you have a favorite score of all time, Blake? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, man. You know what? I would say because I watch so much and it comes in waves, you know, and I have like a new favorite thing, I would say I get kind of flavor of the week going, but Star Wars is definitely up there. You know, half of John Williams' catalog could be an answer to that question, honestly. I mean, you can tell me, like, there's an entire generation of people who probably say the Harry Potter music is their favorite.
Right.
And I would be like, you know what? That's gorgeous music. I mean, separate from the films completely.
Jaws.
Jaws, I mean, for me, what's more iconic than Jaws other than Star Wars? And I would say I absolutely love, and I know I got flack for saying this once, but I love the score to The Social Network, actually, when it won the Oscar, Atticus Ross and Trent Reznor. I was blown away by that score, and I've listened to it so many times. I'm a big gamer, so I listen to it while I game, and it just sort of, at times, it matches up perfectly with certain things I play. And so, I mean, you run into... My favorites sort of morph and change over time, and sometimes I'll hear things and think, you know, like, wow, like, there was that one song in that movie that I really liked, and most of the rest of the score didn't really apply, really, you know, just doesn't stick. But certain things, Star Wars, though, the whole thing, you could play somebody like probably a few bars from Star Wars. I'm going to act like I know what music is for a minute and just say you could play somebody a few bars from Star Wars, and they're going to know it's Star Wars.
Right.
Because the sound, you know, it's conveyed all in the music, and it completely matches the motif of that movie. Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know, any of the music from Indiana Jones jumps at you. And actually, I've been listening to it a lot lately. Forrest Gump. I mentioned Forrest Gump earlier. And the music from Forrest Gump is quite beautiful if you just listen to it separate from the film. It's kind of hard to because the movie's so, I think it's very rewatchable. Because it's such an interesting journey for a character, and people love being transported, and going on that journey again and again. At least I do. And the music, though, separate from it, definitely stands out.
Yeah, that suite has so many different parts and it's gorgeous. 312-981-7200. Give us a call or send us a text. The conversation started with comfort movies, things that you watch, you fall back on, since it's we're falling back at the time. We got a text from the 847, and this kind of alludes to what we're going to see here in the holiday season, because they start to play the same kind of movies over and over again. Mm-hmm. But this one I could not agree more. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, a remote dropper, right?
Absolutely. Yes. 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 Okay. Can we just do an entire hour about John Candy?
No, I know, right?
But I definitely, that movie had a magnetism in the two key talents. You know, it was just one of those things where you connect with them immediately because they're just like either you or someone you know. They're going on a journey. Everybody wants to do that. Road movies can sometimes completely captivate an audience. That one in particular, it matches up with a holiday. It has a feel to it. If you're from Illinois, you know, I mean, I miss home, but like Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, definitely in the top three must watch over the course of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And I've probably seen it four or five times.
Oh, you know, yeah, at least.
Throughout my entire adult life. That's just my adult life. Like, watching it as a teen and not really getting how amazing it was, but mm-hmm. now watching it, it's like, no, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, big thumbs up for that one. Absolutely.
As we get into the holiday season, are there any, Esmeralda, that you're a fan of, that you like, that you don't
Christmas
like?
Christmas Story.
Yeah.
Especially they play 24 Hours is the best. Because you pick it up, and absolutely. I know the whole thing. I could reenact the whole thing.
Does it make you feel warm and fuzzy inside? Is that what
it
is?
Oh, for sure. Well, yeah. Yeah, it's watching it with family and, you know, even with the 24-hour thing, like, that's a thing now at my house. It's like, oh, turn it on. Christmas Story's on. It's on 24. Let's watch it.
Yeah. This isn't holiday related, but the 309 says a double dip, Pirates of the Caribbean, a consistent repeat watch, and it has a fantastic score, which I got to agree with that.
Yes, Klaus Badelt's score for that movie is probably one of my favorites to listen to over and over again. It so matches up with the movie itself. And that was the first Captain Jack Sparrow. You know, the whole world was kind of taken by surprise with how great Johnny Depp was in that movie. But that movie was so immersive and totally a Disney thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Disney pulled out all the stops to like really make that feel like a movie where you were on the ride. You know, because I mean, that somebody actually pitched a movie based on a ride,
yeah.
like, and it worked. You know what I mean? Like
that's
to me the thing that's always going to stand out with Pirates of the Caribbean.
Mary from Roselle says, "Going My Way" and "Singing in the Rain" both are comfort movies from my childhood. I think that's a thing. I think that if you connected with it as a kid. Even if it's the goofy one, not that those are goofy, but like mine with Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah. If there's something that you connect with a kid, it continues no matter how old you get.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, look at you. Like you said it earlier, Little Shop of Horrors. That's it. That's the one. Yeah. That's your movie. And look, I've sat and watched Little Shop of Horrors with John. for those that you know are listening, he totally gets completely into it. He might even have costumes. He just didn't get them out. When
does
we
he sing
it.
All the songs?
I think. He does.
Do
and he
I
does a pretty good
sing
job.
All the songs.
I gotta give him credit.
Suddenly Seymour. Okay. suddenly Harold, you're joining us on the line. Harold, you're talking about comfort films or soundtracks you like?
Well, just I guess you know, you were talking about films that you've seen many times.
Right.
And you want to go to. So and I could just sit there and name you like for 3 days if you just name the movies, but a couple of them that you know, I think many people agree with me are American Graffiti, one of George there's like what five or six different stories going on at the same time and going back and forth
and great music in that one too.
Yeah,
exactly.
And great music. Yes,
you know, you start out one guy's begging the other guy to don't skip out on college, and then by the end, it's they switch roles, you know.
Right.
And then another one is A Shot in the Dark, Peter Sellers. The second King Panther.
Oh. Movie.
you touched a button with Blake here.
You had me at Peter Sellers. I mean, yes, absolutely. That was such a nuanced performer. Yes.
there's a thing that I tell people whenever they see it. I say, you know, I tell them that he's a cop, but he's always undercover, and you know, he's in this undercover mode, and he's in disguise, and he gets arrested by a police officer several times in the film. And one time he gets arrested, he's selling paintings, and he's kind of dressed as Toulouse-Lautrec, and then so he gets arrested by, you know, for selling these paintings without license, and doesn't explain to anybody that he's actually a cop. He just gets arrested. And as the painting wagon goes by, as it comes towards you and it goes by, you see there's paintings hanging in the window of the back of the painting wagon. And then he's selling balloons later on, and the balloons are in the back of the paddy wagon as it goes by. And there's several other ones. And then there's a scene where he gets arrested for, he leaves a nudist camp in a hurry and leaves his clothes behind. And he gets arrested for being naked in his car in the middle of the intersection with Elkie Summers, both of them. You know, him and Elkie Summers are in the car, you know, trying to get arrested. And well, I tell people, I say, just watch the movie, and when the paddy wagon goes by this time, see what's in the back of the window.
Harold, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, so, you know, I won't tell the rest of it.
Right.
I have to see it, But, yeah, there's tons of, I mean, The Blob, Steve McQueen.
Yeah, yeah, that's another one.
Yeah.
I mean, and Harold, were these movies you enjoyed as a kid, and is that why you maybe find them so, if comforting's not the word, but familiar, that you just enjoy them so much?
Well, there's tons of movies. There's even movies, you know, that are current. But, yeah, I did see those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I actually probably saw both of those when I was, like, you know, 4 or 5 years older.
Probably could say
American Beauty when I was 8.
Yeah. I think you could probably say a line to every single one of them. Harold, thank you so much for the call here today.
You're totally right about that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. 720 WGN. We're talking about familiar movies, and we kind of evolved into talking about their score as well. Send us a text or give us a call, 312-981-7200. Blake, you mind hanging around just for a little bit longer?
You betcha.
All right, quick commercial break here on 720 WGN.
Nice.
Oh, here it comes.
Go on.
Little shop of horrors, little shop of terrors, won't drop. Little shop of horrors, oh, 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 whoa.
We're
going
to find you an off-Broadway play.
Little shop of horrors, pop, shoo, bop. Little shop of terrors, watch them drop. Little shop of horrors, don't, oh, oh, no.
We're going to find sing-a-ling, you an off-Broadway, and you're going to be in it.
All right, you're listening to 720 WGN. This clearly is not Dave Blyer. This is John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon.
Hello.
And we're joined by Blake Stubbs. Blake, as I'm sure you've seen me sing these songs before as well, I want to mention one thing. You know, we've listed a bunch of these movies off. Some have great music, some have some other great qualities to them. And I don't know if it's just because it gets stale over time, but I don't know, comedies don't seem to stand... I mean, there's comedies you watch over and over again, but is it because jokes can get stale and change as the culture changes that maybe comedies don't stand the test of time as well as the dramas do, or have we just not happened to bring any up yet?
Well, we did bring up The Big Lebowski.
True.
Which has that cult following, and a lot of people can quote it, and it's sort of like a new generation's Caddyshack type thing. Caddyshack is one I would mention. Animal House is another I would
mention. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
These are all movies that I've seen multiple times that I can watch at any point in time, even if they're on television, because I know what the edits are. But I know that, you know, I enjoy watching it just as much because it's about the characters or the setting or the place. I mean, here's another one, Office Space.
Yeah.
Or yeah,
Idiocracy, both by Mike Judge. You know, Office Space is such an easily relatable film for a massive amount of people. And I know that, you know, it had a run, I believe, on TBS or TNT for a long time. And the syndication element, you know, makes it easy to have access to. But you can, you know, that's a cheap Blu-ray you can find at any local, like, Walmart for the most part. And you'll watch it 3 or 4 times, in the time you own it.
Yeah.
Another one too. You guys were talking zombies earlier. I think Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Any list of movies that you could watch over and over again. Edgar Wright makes some great. Everything he touches, I think, is gold. But that's just me personally. His show Spaced, which he made with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost prior to Shaun of the Dead, I've probably watched that entire show. Now, granted, it was only 14 episodes, but if you have never seen Spaced, look it up. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to invite you into this cool club of people that love space. it has such rewatchability because of the style. You know, all of his stuff has fast edits. All of the stuff is very callback oriented to great, you know, horror action films. You know, things that, like, if you've seen what he's referencing, everything he does is a rewarding experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an easy way to go back and rewatch a movie like that. And even though that movie's about a zombie apocalypse, it's a comedy about a zombie apocalypse that I honestly don't think gets old. Now, it may not be the movie I can sit and watch four times in a row on repeat, but I've definitely seen that movie at least a dozen times. For sure, I know I've seen that one a dozen times. And I love showing that movie to people who haven't seen it, because I think that it's one of those things where, like, I didn't know anyone made a movie like this.
Yeah.
You know, everything's all Walking Dead right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, which I don't have a problem. I love Walking Dead. But if you are unaware of Shaun of the Dead,
check it out.
It's a nice starting point.
Did you have some comedies, Esmeralda?
Well, I like the 630 brings up a good one. My Cousin Vinny. I love that one. Two Utes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a good one. My Biological Clock is Ticking. That is a really good one. That's a very good one.
That's one that's always on TBS.
847 says Groundhog Day. That one stands the test of time.
Groundhog Day. Absolutely.
That's a very familiar one. Mike, you've got a couple movies that are your kind of fallback go-tos and you know every word to, right? Mike, you there? You're on 720 WGN?
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's see. Dr. Strangelove. Without a doubt.
Oh.
Tour de Force by Peter Sellers.
Yeah, he's come up before, yeah.
Absolutely.
Any other ones, Mike?
I wanted to say I grew up in a town where the mayor in 1958 or so was elected on the Don't Let Them Fluoridate the Water platform. So, Strangelove makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
And the other one is Fargo. And let me just say that we've been talking about a lot of John Williams scores. Carter Burwell is a genius, too. So I love any score by Carter Burwell.
I got to admit my naivety, Mike. I don't know who Carter Burwell is. I'm going to have to look it up. I mean, I'm sure I've heard the scores that he's done. Just you
he did the score to The Hunger Games.
Oh, okay.
Let's see, Fargo.
He's a Coen brother.
He did the score for No Country for Old Men. There's a real listable score.
Yeah. Some other ones there, too.
Crossing, beautiful, beautiful Irish-based music. Great story.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate it. He doesn't appreciate me, so I appreciate him. I'm just kidding.
He's appreciate you, John.
Thanks. Go ahead, Blake.
Oh, I was just going to say, I want to thank Mike for bringing up Carter Burwell, because Carter Burwell wrote the all the orchestrations for one of my absolute favorite films. It's actually my number five on my top five list, which is In Bruges. In Bruges, set to the cinematography of In Bruges and the way they tell that story. And it's a very black comedy, very dark, dark comedy. But the piano, the use of piano in that movie, it'll stick with you if you're really paying attention to it. And a lot of them, I mean, he's a frequent Coen Brothers collaborator, but he definitely has a very widespread sort of, like, you know, a plethora of things that he's worked with. And he's one of those evolving composers that kind of goes under the radar. Like you said, you're not too familiar, but I'm sure if I listed five of these movies, you would be like, wait a minute, I've seen all of those. And it's just, that's part of his greatness. He just blends in so well with different types of films. He actually did The Big Lebowski, if you can believe it or not. So, yeah.
So
Fargo's score is excellent.
So, absolutely. Blake, I got to ask. I'm not asking you to pick your favorite movie. I'm saying it's a rainy day. You're flipping through the channels. What movie, as you're flipping through, is the one that, again, we're not looking for your favorite movie of all time, but the one that you're like, I'm going to stop and watch this?
Oh, it's a tough question, but I did put some forethought into it because I knew I'd get asked. Honestly, Princess Bride.
Oh,
it's a good one. A good one.
It is.
That's very sweet.
You know, because I don't know why that is. I mean, everybody has personal reasons why they pick certain movies. You know, movies are a very personal experience. I was a sick kid a lot when I was very young, and the movie opens with a sick kid, and his granddad comes over and tells him a story. It's very easy to fall into that one.
It's very sweet.
Because it completely transports, you know, characters within the film, and you're just invited along for the ride. And, of course, everybody in the movie's outstanding. And I was a big wrestling fan, and Andre the Giant being in a movie,
true.
I sort of gravitated very easily toward it. But, Yeah, Princess Bride, I think. You could just throw that movie on and I can watch it. I quote most of it, but I don't think I've ever dedicated myself to knowing everything. One other movie, and it's gonna maybe shock you, is Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, yeah.
The movie.
Oh, okay.
I can actually quote both all of This Island Earth and every one of the wisecracks from the film.
Oh, wow.
Because I've seen the movie so many times. I might need one more, like a refresh viewing.
Right.
But put me in front of a group of people and I can just sit there and be the most insufferable human being and not even watch it. I'll just sit there and quote the thing. So, but yeah, no, it's definitely one of those things where there's a lot of those movies that I've seen a lot. I can sort of tune out, but I can totally be there, you know, in it.
Mm-hmm.
Princess Bride, though, rainy day, go to. Absolutely.
Blake Stubbs, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
This time change thing is weird because you guys are in Central and I'm in the West Coast.
But right.
And we figured it out.
Did we make it a little better, though?
Yeah, I honestly, you guys, this was quite... Once it rolled back and I realized I got my hour back,
yeah,
so I can go back and sleep. I didn't really.
Yeah, you don't mind so much. All right, Blake, thanks so much for your time. Okay.
Thank you. Well, oh, hey, and I think I would be remiss. I may be 2,000 miles away, but I am so thrilled the Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Chicago, in spirit, and go Cubbies.
All right, Blake, go Cubsies. Have a good one. I just called them the Cubsies, by the way, so you know that I am
Cubsies.
I'm just clearly off my rocker at this point.
You are in it, though. That's why you can call
them flipping through,
Cubsies.
You got one that you're going to stop no matter what?
It would probably be, because we were talking about it, Shaun of the Dead.
Shaun of the Dead.
That one's so good.
Roger, you got one that you're flipping through. You're not going to stop.
I got so many.
Right.
Probably because I've been around longer and I do watch a lot of movies. But the list is endless. But here are some that have been on recently, like a lot on those on the movie channels on the digital TV stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The Quiet Man, John Wayne.
Okay.
The original Magnificent Seven.
Okay.
And The Longest Day, which has a cast of thousands, and every top male star from around the world was on it. It's about the invasion of D-Day, invasion of Normandy. And it's just tremendous. So those three, if I'm flipping around and it's there, I'm there.
Is it were all those three movies from when you were a kid? Or childhood or formative years, I should say? Because that's what I think this connection is. I think that's what...
They were formative. I could throw Lawrence of Arabia in there.
For me, it's like
throw every Jerry Lewis movie in there.
For me, it's like Jurassic Park. Like that one I will watch no matter what. And that's when I was 9 or 10 years old.
I'll tell you a new one.
Okay.
That I would watch at any time. And the background in it is that I was going through chemo at the time this came in the theater. And I could barely walk from my chemo treatments. And I was with my wife. And this movie starts out with someone who dies of cancer.
Which one? I don't know. I can't think of it.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh.
Wait. Oh, that's right.
That's right.
That is
and
a cute one.
And every time I have to force myself not to watch it because I become so emotional at the beginning of it. And then it's just a fun kick butt movie.
It kind of turns that around there.
Exactly.
Groot. Yeah, I think it's these movies that either it's a connection to your past or a connection to a very emotional moment in your life that reminds you of it, that you'll just stop everything and say, I'm going to watch this all the way through.
Right.
Fascinating discussion. Okay, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. WGN, that is hail to the chief, right? Absolutely. And we're going to have a new chief, at least we're going to elect one on Tuesday. I think a lot of people would say unfortunately. I don't know. I think everyone just wants President Obama just to stay a little bit longer.
And it's not even just that. There's a whole slew of things that we're voting for.
It's a good point. I think that we all know the top
locally.
Of it. Yeah, look at that. Was a segue that Esmeralda went on. Have you voted yet, Esmeralda?
I have not, because I live across the street from my polling place. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to walk right up after work, vote,
no problem,
and then go to bed.
So I voted, and I consider myself an informed voter. I obviously knew the top of the ticket. I knew who was running for senator here in Illinois. And I looked up people that were running for my local state reps, and sometimes they were unopposed, so that made it a really easy decision. But I got to admit, I got to like some of the later pages, and I'm like, I don't know anything about these judges.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants. But I've already voted, so I can't go vote again, even though this is Chicago. But for everyone else out there, Alex Nemcheski from Ballot Ready is here to solve all that for us. Alex, good morning.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here.
It is great to have you. This is so cool. I was fiddling around with your site, and all I kept on thinking was, I wish I would have looked at this before I voted.
Yeah, I know. We're trying to get the word out to everybody.
So talk us through what it is.
Yeah, so anyone can go to ballotready.org, type in your address, and we show you all the candidates and referendums that will be on your ballot.
Go ahead.
We cover all the judges, water reclamation commissioners in Cook County. There are 6 ballot measures on your ballot, and we aggregate background information. Our goal is for everyone to complete their entire ballot without guessing.
Did this just kind of come from a similar stories you heard from people that, I'm just kind of like throwing a dart at a dartboard with some of these votes, and that was the problem, and you aim to solve that?
Exactly. And we heard that from political science professors who admitted to guessing. We heard it from political reporters from the Tribune who voted based on a cool sounding name. So everybody has this problem.
That's how I pick horses whenever I do horse racing. I imagine that's probably not the best way to pick politicians.
Exactly. And when everyone's doing it, it's a real problem.
I find it fascinating you had a stat that, and I guess this is no surprise when people aren't informed, that actually just being the top person alphabetically or however it's ordered can be a big bump for you.
Exactly. And it's ordered by lottery, which means that if you're listed first, you can get 5% increase in votes. And that's just because people are so unfamiliar with these local offices. And it's hard to get familiar because in some places, there are over 100 candidates on a ballot.
Wow.
Right. I'm looking at my ballot right now, and I have there's 75 judicial candidates.
Wow.
I have no clue. Exactly. I have to look through Ballot Ready and find out who I'm going to vote for.
How do you find that information, Alex? When you say aggregate, walk us through how that's done.
So we pull from candidate websites, news articles, when candidates fill out questionnaires for newspapers, or endorsing organizations, we pull all that and put it into one place. And then we allow you to compare the candidates based on things like the issues that they take stances on or their previous experience. For judges, we aggregate all 12 Bar Association judicial ratings.
Is there an editorial process that goes through when this stuff happens, or is it aggregated by humans that pull it all together, or is it kind of done electronically and then, you know, you look if there's problems after the fact?
We do a mix of both human collection and automated collection, so we use IBM Watson, but it's not editorialized. We just put it all out there for people to compare based on what matters most to them.
And is it just, I know you guys are expanding. Where did you start out and when did you start out?
Our first election was the mayoral runoff election in Chicago last year in 2015. And then we covered Kentucky. We've covered 5 elections since then, primaries. And now we are in 12 states for this election.
Oh, wow. 12 states from, I mean, that's been a year. I mean, a little over a year since that. That's pretty rapid expansion. Have you guys, I mean, I imagine you guys have had some help along the way.
Yeah, we have. We've gotten support from the National Science Foundation, the Knight Foundation, the University of Chicago Institute of Politics was our kind of foundational support. So we're in a pretty good position for Tuesday.
I have such a dumb question, but I'm sure it's something that people ask or wonder. How is there not something already like this, you know?
The reason is because it's so hard to find this information. And this is because we can't just go to the state of Illinois and say, hey, who's going to be on the ballot? We have to go to all the local boards of elections. We have to make phone calls. We had to get a fax machine. We had to go to boards of elections physically. It takes a lot of work. So that's why we're the only group that does this.
And the fact that it's so personalized, because maybe you could start to pull together information, but when you're starting to talk about state representative districts and ward districts and all the small things, it really, I mean, the person across the street from you might have a different ballot.
Exactly. And that's the case in most places.
Yeah, and what I do love about this is that you go through the list, and it's not just you looking at everything. You get to pick who you're going to vote for, and then you can print it out. You can email it to yourself so you're ready when you go vote. You don't have to just remember them off the top of your head.
And in many places, you can bring your phone in the voting booth. And so let's say you didn't know about Ballot Ready, and you just wanted to research the candidate.
I have a dumb question. It's ballotready.org. I have all these dumb questions. I'm so full of them. I'm the guy that walked in that didn't know my judges. So yeah, of course I have the dumb questions. Do you guys operate as a nonprofit? How does that work?
We're incorporated as a for-profit, but we have a social mission.
You're breaking up there just a little bit, Alex. I don't know if you're talking too close to the speaker there. Could you repeat that? So you guys operate as a for-profit?
Yes, we are incorporated as a for-profit.
Alex, unfortunately, we're going to put you on hold, and actually this is perfect timing because we're going to take a quick commercial break, and hopefully we can clear that up with Alex right after this on 720 WGN. WGN. John Hanson and Esmeralda Leon in for Dave Plyer. We're talking about voting with Alex Nemchesky from ballotready.org, an amazing site. You just plug in your address and you can see all the information you could possibly want about who's on your ballot so you can make more informed decisions. And Alex, I guess that's probably the main goal, right? I mean, at the end of the day, maybe people are a little more less intimidated when they can read a little bit more, and maybe that just prompts them to give them a little bit more confidence to even get to the polls in the first place.
At least 30% of people don't complete their ballot. They leave blanks. And literally everyone we've met has admitted to guessing at some point. So our first goal is for people to complete the ballot without guessing. And our second goal is to encourage more people to use their power to vote, especially in local elections.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is the focus becomes, like you were saying, Esmeralda, the top of the ticket, and then it's such an afterthought for the rest of it when, I mean, democracy works the opposite way in many ways. The things that affect us so immediately are the things that happen down the street from us.
Right, the local things, the measures. And yeah. If you don't know what it's about, you're just going to be like, oh, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, I'll just throw it at it. Alex, I wonder, go ahead.
Some of those measures, if you read the text of the measure, mm-hmm. it's so hard to understand. So mm-hmm. we show you exactly what it means, who endorses it, so you can go in well informed.
That's an interesting point, too, because those amendments can kind of get lost in the lingo. And then even my ballot, I remember because it was the Rhodes Amendment question that we have here for Illinois about the lockbox of funding. They asked yes. it one way, and then they tried to simplify it, and that's actually what threw me off more than anything else, was their sort of explanation on the ballot. So I guess we shouldn't leave it up to the bureaucrats to make it as simple and understandable as possible.
Exactly.
I was wondering, Alex, and you kind of broke up there right before when we were talking about this. So you guys actually are you operate as a for-profit company, which I respect anyone that's trying to run a business and you know, bring in some financial gains for yourself and your employees, and that's great. How do you guys plan to make money? How does that work? And do people ever express any worry that that's going to offer any sort of conflict with the nonpartisan operation you're trying to run?
You're exactly right. We want to be sustainable. We want to eventually cover every election in every state. And in order to do that, we have some ideas about how we might make money in the future, but we don't make money now.
Right? You're like, that's a problem for later. That'll be a great problem when it happens. But for now, we're...
Right.
I guess my concern is, and I'm sure you guys will think about this, and obviously all you have is credibility with something like this, that, you know, Coca-Cola can't come through, buy an ad, and then also sway you with some sort of, make sure the picture for this candidate is better or the lingo filters out. I mean, I imagine that's something that you guys don't have blinders on towards, that when you start to figure out ways how to make money, that's obviously going to be first and foremost that what you have on there can be, no matter what, trusted to be impartial.
Exactly. That's our first thing, is to be useful to voters. And without that, we're really nothing. So that's going to be our priority no matter what we do.
The other people that helped you form this included was also someone who was running for office. In fact, him or herself, right?
Exactly. My co-founder actually ran for local school council in Chicago, and she won. But the reason we kind of started this was because she called me. She was like, will you please vote for me? And I was like, I didn't even realize there was an election going on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's a good point, too, because is it just going to be the midterms and the every other year? Or are you going to also try and cover primaries? I mean, you started with the primary, so I imagine that'll be a continued goal.
Exactly. Next year, we're covering 20 elections. I think most people forget that there are elections that often. But also, what that means is turnout in those is really low. And we know in mayoral elections across the U.S., the median age of voters is 60.
Wow. That seems crazy.
We want to get that right, lower.
Yeah, you want to get... Not that we don't love when our 60-year-olds vote and above, but we want to make sure...
Everybody's got to vote.
Everyone's got to vote.
Everybody else.
Have you... What response have you gotten from either other elected officials or from, you know, boards of elections? You know, there's this... Obviously, we all love... Everyone totes the line that the more people that vote, the better. But I don't know if everyone across the board necessarily feels that way. But have you heard anything from the Board of Elections?
They're happy to be that this information is out there from candidates. The best thing we hear. So when we put information on the site, we email the candidates to say, hey, here's what your profile looks like. Here's what your opponent's profiles look like. Let us know if you want to add anything or if anything's wrong. The best is when candidates say, oh, I noticed my opponent took a stance on this issue. I want to make my stance known, too, because that's what we're all about, making it easier for people to get information, holding elected officials accountable, and just understanding what their values are.
That's fascinating. Is it because a candidate just doesn't like the look of, like, necessarily like a blank space next to a candidate who has at least has some opinion on it?
Exactly.
That's so fascinating. What response have you gotten from voters that have already used the website?
They're very happy. We get a lot of emails saying things like, this is the first time I've ever completed my ballot. I went into the voting booth feeling so confident. Some people say, this is the first time I've ever even voted for judges, because before I just skipped that whole section. So they're very grateful.
Are judges the hardest one to find information about? Is it harder to dig through their judicial history? And, judges are a little bit less partisan than we see when you have political parties. I imagine the judges are hard to find, to dig up that info on.
They're actually not, because bar associations spend so much effort doing these ratings. For each judge they rate, they call 20 references. They do an hour and a half long interview. They look through their court filings. They spend a lot of work on this. So that's one area where I'm very grateful someone else is taking care of it.
Yeah, I really wish I would have looked at this before I voted. I imagine you get that a lot, too, at least in the early going.
Yeah, this month especially, people keep telling me, oh, I voted yesterday or something like that. And next time, we'll be here next time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you'll go ahead.
No, I was going to say, you guys are actually, you're part of, here in Chicago, part of the Parade to the Polls this Monday with Chance the Rapper.
Yes, it's Monday 3 to 6.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about that?
So basically the idea is we're all going to walk to the polls together to vote early. And it's led by Chance the Rapper. A couple other musicians are going to be performing. I think it should be a really fun voting experience.
So do you plug in your address and do it? You yourself personally, Alex?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do it, like, every day.
To see what changes or just because you love it so much?
Both because I love it so much and to make sure everything's correct.
Yes, exactly. You do your own little testing there. I got to ask you, have you voted yet or are you waiting till Election Day?
We're all voting as a team on Monday with Chance.
Okay, so that's not just a quote-unquote stunt. You actually will be doing it that day. And I love the voting early apparatus, but it is interesting, Esmeralda, you're waiting for Election Day. You may have a shorter line than I had. I went on the very first day that you could vote in your precincts, in your wards on early election. And it was insane. It was packed. And that was at the close. They had to stay an extra hour and a half on the first day.
Yeah, I heard there's huge lines. I'm going to be there right at 6 a.m.
Alex, you're gonna take credit for all that then?
So I do know you are allowed to take as long as you want in the voting booth.
Yeah.
So don't be worried that, you know, maybe you're taking too long to research. It's more important that you get your vote right then.
Yeah, and I imagine you want people going before they vote. Yeah, can you bring cell phones into your voting booth? Does it depend on where you are?
It does depend on where you are, but you can in most places. You just can't take a photo of your ballot.
Right. Don't tweet out a photo of your ballot because it's totally invalid then. All right, so go to ballotready.org. And Alex, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And get out and vote. Okay, plenty more coming up on 720 WGN. Well, the spin will certainly help, obviously, with Rick Pearson. That'll be definitely helpful. But, of course, ballotready.org is great. Roger, do you know all your judges? Are you all up to speed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a block away from our voting place.
Do you ever leave things blank, or do you research it all the way through?
I don't know if I research it all the way through, but I know I know the candidates.
Okay,
even when there's a long ballot, just from doing this job, I'm kind of a news junkie. I was a government minor in college. I kind of love elections. So I follow it. I'm not like intensely into it,
right?
But I think I'm educated enough to be able to make a decent enough decision when I go into the voting booth.
You got your ballot measures all ready?
We're putting you to a quiz here, Roger. Yeah.
No, I don't. But I don't need. I don't take anything in with me. I know what's going on.
Yeah,
when I go in there.
Yeah. See, when I get to, I thought I did, and then I got to the judges this year. And I just left them all blank, which I think is still better than picking on your favorite name, like picking horses.
This one sounds fun.
That's a good name. Let's get her on the bench. Let's keep her there. Oh, Roger.
Homer Simpson for judge.
Yep.
Now, I'd vote for that. Okay. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.
WGN.
I was waiting for the words.
There's no words. This is a
California girls. Okay,
yeah. Start singing.
Bikinis, no weenies, or do something, something. That's the song.
That's
very
good.
Supposed to sing
that. Was good. No, that's okay.
Right.
You're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. That was John Hanson.
Yo yo yo.
We're in for Dave Plyer.
I can't say anything else but yo 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 to that.
You're like you're the hype man.
Hey yo. That's really close to yo yo yo. Oh, boy.
Wow.
Here we are.
So we had
Have
on.
You two just totally lost it.
Hey,
I think
it
so.
Is 4:35, but really 5:35.
Right.
But it's really 4:35 in the morning.
I know.
No, we had a texter from the 630. How are they going as a team to vote? Do they all in the same precinct?
The folks from ballotready.org with Chance the Rapper. Well, I assume, and we can look this up, but while there are individual voting sites around Chicago, there is a central one downtown on Washington, I believe.
And this this event that they're doing with Chance the Rapper, it's going to be in the downtown area.
Cool.
So it'll be easy for them to walk over.
But legit question.
Yeah.
Toast.
Because it sounds a little funky. Like what? You just vote wherever? What's going on?
And they're all going to get into one. They're all going to stuff into one ballot box like a clown car is what they're going to do. And just vote as one.
Wow.
I want to be the last one in.
It's the opposite of what Chicago normally does, where you vote more than once. It's many people
just
doing one vote. Yeah, exactly.
Oh.
Oh, hello.
Hey, boom, boom.
Hi-yo.
Boom. losing it.
We're tired.
Yeah, this is a little longer.
I'm tired. Yeah.
I'm starting to get there. But
do you have trouble sleeping?
No, not when I put on the West Wing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Every now and then. I mean, we have weird schedules, you know? Like, I work early morning. Yes. You work overnight.
I work late.
But when we shift them around or mess with it, things get a little funky.
Yeah, and we have the 10 songs found to be the most relaxing on Earth.
The most relaxing on Earth that are meant specifically to help you sleep?
Yeah, well, it's supposed to help you relieve stress, anxiety, that kind of thing. There was some neuroscientists in the UK who did a study, and they found that these songs help reduce anxiety and stress, and then you can sleep better.
I like the songs of nature to put me to sleep.
I actually have been trying to get to sleep easier and quicker.
Mm-hmm.
Rain.
The pitter-patter of rain on
rain and thunder.
On a bamboo roof. Wow. Did you ever play the game where you create rain? Like you'd have in school? Did you do this? No,
I don't know what you're talking about.
You never did the rain game?
No,
where they went around the room and they were like, all right, everyone snap first. And then some people would snap. And then you'd have some people pat on their things for thunder. And
how
you
is
made
this a game?
You made a rainstorm with all your classmates.
It's not a game.
Joey, back me up here. You know what I'm talking
about? I gotcha.
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. Well, I can't snap, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, your classmates could. And so it would start as a slow rain. Everyone would kind of go little snaps, and then they'd point and they'd be like, all right, now you guys start going like this, like drumming on your legs, and that'd be like the rolling thunder coming on in. And then I think
did
that
anyone
was
fall
it.
Asleep?
No, you weren't supposed to fall asleep. This was
I think it'd be so calming.
Right, no. No, because the thunder would come and be so loud. What else would you do, Joey? I don't know. Is that it? Those two things?
I think so. You rub the hands together for wind and for.
Wow.
So here, Joey, you do the wind.
Okay.
All right, so you do the wind. I'll do this, and now you.
What am I?
No, you're not clapping.
I don't know what. What
your,
else? Oh,
your
okay.
legs. Here we go. See? Sounds like a nice rainstorm. No?
Sure.
Did anyone else ever do this?
It sounds like we're working on a boat or something.
Like building a boat?
Building a boat.
Building an ark, actually.
There you go. Yeah,
exactly.
For that rain.
312-981-7200. Have you ever made it rain? Okay. Which has other connotations.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can make it rain.
So anyways.
With these songs, though, they are supposed to relax you. And I don't know. I mean, you watch The West Wing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I listen to rain sounds.
Right.
But these are all, and Joey, you have some of them. And they're all just kind of like instrumentals.
Right.
And like.
So they actually count this down 10-1, right?
Yeah. And I thought it'd be a good idea because our show is winding down.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone get into bed.
Okay.
If you're already not. Tuck yourselves in. You are a great improviser. You're going up the stairs.
That was me going up the stairs, and I'm putting the blanket on. Okay.
Yeah, if you're watching WGNradio.com, you can see him getting into bed.
These are my sheets.
You look like out of that Little Red Riding Hood.
Okay, yeah. I got to put my hood up, too.
Like you're great.
All right. Right, I'm going
to get into bed. We're going to try to lull you guys to sleep.
All right, let's do it.
With these songs.
Right.
What's number 10 is Rue du Soleil.
Let's listen to Rue du Soleil.
We can fly.
Can we?
In our dreams.
Everybody close your eyes. Think of your childhood. Going to grandmother's house. We go through the river. I'm on the Little Red Riding Hood.
This is like meditation now.
This is.
These could be probably for meditation.
Feel the sand through your feet as you walk over a Asian beach. I don't know why it was Asian.
Asian beach.
Okay, I could see that one. All right, that's a good one.
These are nice.
All right,
Canzonetta Solaria. Oh, it's Mozart.
All right, this is number 9, Mozart. All right. Oh, this is regal.
I can imagine. I'm floating in a boat. Oh.
Come with me, dear, and I'll take you on a cruise of the European countryside.
This is what people, they eat dinner to.
This is not relaxing to me.
Yeah, and it's a little bit. I could see, like, being on a beach. These are all beach-related to me now.
No. No, I feel like I have...
My voice is a bit much.
I have little binoculars and I'm staring at an opera. No, I don't like this one.
Number 8. I think that'll be a little more.
One, yeah.
It's a little Adele, someone like you.
Let's hear it. This one's going to just make me cry, I think.
I know, right? I would be listening.
again, I guess I kind of got a little, when I was writing it, I was...
Well, this is her, this is her talking.
Move the interlude first.
Yeah, we don't need to play. I think we all know someone.
Yeah,
like
we know
you.
Someone like you, which I don't know if I could find that relaxing.
I think I would just cry.
Right, I'd be in bed like.
I know. Going over our past exes.
Yeah,
I know. Okay.
So seven Pure Shores
by All Saints. Sounds like
are
a
we
bunch
in?
Of,
it's like alien talk.
Like the moon.
We're on the moon.
You're
napping.
Weightless on the moon. Okay.
We're napping on
oh,
the
now
moon.
It's going to get a little techie, too. It's a little
See,
total
I don't
recall.
I know if I could sleep. See, I can't,
no,
I
this
can't
is,
sleep to these.
This is foreboding.
Right? You like would I, think, like, oh, gosh, someone in my room?
Right. I'd consistently be worried the entire night that someone was going to...
Or I'd just start doing, like, a weird...
Right.
Oh, what's that Mike like the, Myers character? The German...
Austin Powers?
No, he dances with the monkey.
German dancing monkey guy, pretty much.
That character.
All right, so that's not my favorite by Pure Shores. Okay,
six.
Next we have Barcelona with Please Don't Go, which is kind of a creepy fall asleep song. Let's hear it.
This will make me cry.
This is inspirational.
These are all like end of movie songs.
Yeah, this is
like
inspirational.
Yeah. Oh, this sounds like I would cry.
I don't know, but if...
Yeah, no, I'd be in bed, like...
Yeah.
Because I'd be listening to Adele.
Your lip is quivering, right, exactly. Yeah. Okay,
Number five.
Number five.
Oh, this is Coldplay.
Mm-hmm. Coldplay puts me to sleep.
Swing.
All right, Coldplay.
Because they're so boring? I like Coldplay. Who sleeps to this? I guess, you know what? It's more the relaxing, not the... It's going to put you to sleep.
Oh, this is getting going. This is like a party.
I could see that. This, you know, some deep breaths.
I feel like with this one, we're on a Caribbean boat.
That's, you know what? I bet you that's what you have to do. You're imagining.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You're in the Caribbean.
I kind of like this
one. With Coldplay.
A couple people actually texted in about that song. I think the Mozart one about that it was from Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, is it when he puts it on the speaker?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Right. It relaxes them.
Okay,
right?
I actually like the one that we just listened to. I think that would work
Coldplay,
a little bit for
yeah.
me, yeah.
Number four, Enya.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's the stress
you can play it
standby.
If you want, but I know Enya's going to put me to sleep.
Watermark.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, Enya. Girl.
Enya a lady? Is she a lady or is it like a group of people?
I think it's
or...
just a lady, right? Enya?
It's a lady named Enya.
Is Enya a lady? Joy doesn't know.
I don't know. She's an enigma, that Enya.
I thought it was like Cher. It's like a one-word name. Madonna, Cher,
Enya.
And Enya.
I could sleep to this.
Yeah, to me, this would just get boring,
and
it sounds like.
Snuggle in. Well, what else are you going to be doing when you're going to bed?
Listening to political dramas.
What do you need? Yeah.
No, but this sounds like it's a cabin in the woods on a snowy, snowy night, and the fire's going, and you're on a bear rug.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, I could sleep to that.
Well, then.
All right.
Are you sleeping on that bear rug on the floor?
Girl, yeah.
It seems really uncomfortable.
I will wrap that bear around me, which is what happens to me after a long night in Boys. All right, so DJ Shah with Melomaniac. How is this a sleep song?
Chill.
Number
it's
three,
the
it's the chill out mix. Melomaniac by DJ Shah. Here it comes.
Close your eyes.
Imagine space invaders coming from another world.
Chill out.
Don't worry, they're not here to eat you. They want to be your friends.
Sprockets, by the way. Mike Myers.
Sprocket, yeah.
That's what the 847 is telling me.
Is this going to pick up at all?
Thank
or is
you, 847. It shouldn't.
I guess,
trying to
oh,
relax.
I guess Melomaniac. That makes sense. I was thinking Megalomaniac.
No, that's a whole other.
That's a
that's
whole
a different song.
That's
different
a, that's
song.
Like by Reptilia or something. Okay.
Airstream Electric.
Oh, yeah, number two.
That's number two.
Let's hear number two.
How I'm chill are we right now?
I'm pretty chill. These are getting more. They're getting better. I can see the list.
Chill
yeah.
is the...
Way chillier. Okay.
So chill.
Air pipes.
Sleep.
Ooh.
Yeah, this. I could see this in a movie.
I could see you falling asleep to this one.
I could see this in a movie. Very emotional point.
That sounded very 80s just
maybe
then.
Two people, split screen.
What just happened to them?
They just had a big fight, and now they're contemplating life. And it's raining outside. They're staring out the window.
I was going to say, they're each staring out a different window.
Yes.
And on one side of the house, it's rainy. And on the other side, it's also raining because it's the same house.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Right.
That doesn't happen too often when it's not. That would be
right.
weird.
That'd be weird. That'd be a weird movie. Okay, I could see this one. Okay. All right, so, but the number one
is Weightless. And this, apparently, in this study that they did, it had a 65% reduction in participants' overall anxiety.
Okay.
And a 35% reduction in their usual physiological resting rates.
Okay.
So they just chilled to the max.
I'd say let's do a drum roll for this, but that's the most unrelaxing
a
sound.
A very relaxing drum roll.
Right, exactly. Let's do it. Yeah, like a drum circle drum roll. Exactly. All right, let's hear it. Number one, Macaroni. Marconi. Marconi Union.
Macaroni Union.
With Weightless. Ooh, a little heartbeat
there.
Yeah,
see? Okay. Although that makes me think of my heartbeat, and then my heartbeat would probably go even
go faster because you're worried about it. Yeah.
Because then I go, oh my gosh, should my heart be beating this fast or slower?
I don't know.
Should I go to the doctor?
We are getting texts saying that this is putting people to sleep, unfortunately.
Yeah, no. Well, you know.
But if people are trying to, if you're trying to start your day, this could be.
Oh, that's true. Sorry, guys. Just relax, though. Be relaxed, and then you can move through your day in a more relaxed state.
I imagine it's the heartbeat thing that makes this the most relaxing. Okay, that was kind of fascinating.
It kind of freaks me out.
I do like that they, on this website, what is the website? They put together this list into a playlist for
us. Right, so then you can go and just listen.
Right, because I think that if you had a consistent one. Yeah, if you had a consistent one, I don't think that would bother me. But the fact that if you had a playlist, it would change. It would be pretty good.
Right, well also, it's on Spotify, and for me, I can only go in half hour things because then the ads show up. How awful
You're
is
so
it? I'm
relaxed.
Trying to relax, and then it's like, get Spotify Premium. And it's like, oh.
You're just nice. About to fall asleep, and then it's like, insurance is expensive. Buy this insurance instead, which is, I can't believe that's the only commercial I can think of. But
that's all they have. It's insurance and then buy the premium Spotify.
And you're like, let me watch that movie for 30 free more minutes, please. Okay. All right, this was very relaxing. We're going to wrap things up next on 720 WGN. That's not relaxing. That's going to wake people back up. Results were seem to be mixed online.
Right, 224. I do the overnight shift. This wasn't helping me.
Yeah,
results may vary, man.
Yeah, we don't
say that everybody.
Right, Enya is the name of a person, which is what my guess was. Her name is Athni Padgrain Ni Borain, which makes sense why she's Enya.
That was a really good pronunciation.
Say it with confidence. No one knows that you're wrong.
Oh, okay.
She's better known as Enya. She's Irish. She's the top selling Irish artist. As a solo artist of all time, second overall behind U2, yet she doesn't go on concert. Although that would be the chillest concert.
Right? Everyone would be taking
all
naps.
Time to be. I'd go to that concert. I don't like concerts where you're jumping up and down, where you're mosh pitting. I would prefer an Enya concert where you bring a yoga mat and go to sleep.
I was hoping they'd have cots.
Cots are
or
great.
Or hammocks. Just hammocks. Bunch of hammocks.
I would spend $200 to go to an Enya concert in a hammock.
Yeah, and then they'd be like, you get to stay 8 hours because you're going to fall asleep.
Right, because I'm sure it's all electronic anyway. She probably just hits play on her keyboard and then goes,
sail away.
And that song's like 14 minutes long. Right. And she's just like, you know, I'll just repeat it again. Everyone is already asleep.
Yeah, no one's going to know. We're all taking naps.
That's such a good idea.
She's won so much. She wrote a song for the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, she's in that.
Does she have an EGOT?
What's an?
You
oh,
an EGOT?
Yes, this is a
Emmy,
Gold, Grammy,
Gold,
Oscar, and Tony.
Yeah, so she has a Golden Globe. She has a Grammy.
Yeah,
I don't think. Wait, she was nominated for an Academy Award
and a Tony. Does she have a Tony?
No.
Enya the Musical.
At least not according
same
to
thing.
Enya the Musical.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
It's just Sail Away
musical
again?
These days. Yeah. Sail Away is the best song of all time.
Oh. There it is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I just know it from the ads.
Oh, that's right.
They're like Sands of Time.
Right.
With Enya.
Oh, there's other words to this song.
There is. I don't know what she's saying. It sounds lovely, though.
I don't think she knows what she's saying. She's just so chill. She's like, whatever. And you're born in Gweedore County in Northwestern Ireland.
How lovely.
I like Enya.
I like Enya, too,
I'm glad we know a little bit more about Enya. This has been a fun show, Esmeralda.
Yes. And we get to do it again.
Well, Turkey. We know for sure Turkey Day.
Turkey Day.
We'll be back Turkey Day morning for Nick, and then also Black Friday
right,
morning.
To get you through waiting in line at the Target.
Yeah. We'll play more than Enya to keep you going. We promise you that much.
Yeah, we'll hype you guys up.
No, and everyone just make sure you check your clocks. It's 4:54, and we got to do the extra hour today, which was exciting.
Right. Don't think it's 5:54. And if we've just alerted you to this, you're welcome.
You know,
go back to sleep.
What's so crazy is, again, we talked to this at the top of the show, how crazy different things were than a week ago when the Cubs were down 3-1 in the World Series. There's so much to spare. Just think about a week from now. We'll have elected a new president.
I know. There's so much worry.
You know what I mean? Like, there is just, this has been such a packed full fall of just things to do. I think the baseball really distracted people from this very contentious, very heated, some people consider it a horrible election, you might say. It got even crazier last night with the incident. I believe it was in Nevada where candidate Trump was rushed off the stage. There was no weapon found, according to the Secret Service. There was a commotion in front of the stage. I imagine people will be talking about that today. But just go out and vote, people. I mean, at the end of the day,
go vote, ballotready.org.
The president, there was a protester at one of his rallies, not his rally, but his rallies for Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think she was there, and there was a protester in the stands, and he was holding up a Trump sign, and people booed him, and the president said, you know, don't boo, vote. And I think that applies to either party, no matter which party you're voting for, independent, green, Republican or Democrat. You know, we've voiced so much displeasure over these candidates this election cycle that, you know what, now's the time. Put up or shut up.
Exactly. We just got to get to Tuesday.
And it's very cathartic to vote. That's the reason I voted Esmeralda.
Really.
That's why I would do it for you. That's why I imagine you'll just feel so good when you're done with it.
Oh, for sure. I'll have the best sleep ever.
Yeah, well, you'll listen
with
to some Enya.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Walter Jacobson's Perspective is sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. Let's hear it.
I'm trying, but cannot imagine a story in the news as baffling right now as the one about the FBI and Hillary Clinton. The story about the director of the FBI announcing, just as we prepare to vote, that he is reopening his investigation of Hillary Clinton's emails. That criminal investigation that 3 months ago he closed because he said there is no evidence of Clinton breaking a law. But now he says there is something pertinent to consider. That's his word, pertinent. We're going to the polls, and the media's going wild because the director of the FBI, James Comey, won't say what's pertinent. In fact, he says he doesn't know if there's anything pertinent, which is what's causing the media to go wild, which is causing the voters to think that maybe Clinton did break a law, that maybe it'll be a mistake to vote for her for president. Now, Mr. Director, maybe you broke a law, specifically the Federal Hatch Act, that prohibits a federal official from doing or saying anything that may influence voters in a federal election. There's no doubt, sir, that you have influenced voters in this presidential election. So in the interest of a fair election, and for the sake of our democracy, now please tell us, what does pertinent mean? I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNplus.com.
Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter's coming up next. Or as we like to say, Esmeralda, everything that prepares you to face zombies.
Yeah, for the apocalypse.
That whole quiz was all about things to do in the outdoors.
Yeah. And Charlie Potter probably knows.
Charlie Potter would last a long time in a zombie apocalypse.
Longer than Roger.
Oh, way longer than Roger. I don't know about Susan. Susan, how long would you last in a zombie apocalypse, approximately?
Maybe 5 minutes.
Oh, wow.
That's how we were.
Right, cool.
I can't do anything, so I wouldn't know. but I, Susan, we've never met before. I'm John, by the way.
Hey,
and
John.
I hear you might have access to booze for me. So that's what Esmeralda told me. So
right, I can set you up. I don't have anything on me today.
No, that's fine.
We can make a plan.
Yeah, no, we'll put a plan
Susan's
together.
Susan's wonderful.
That's how we'd survive the zombie apocalypse
yeah,
together.
Yeah, we'd hole up in here and just
just drink
hang
it till it's
come
over.
Come on up to the newsroom.
Yeah, you got the elevation up there. So.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, the element of surprise. We can just chuck Miller Lights at them. Okay, this is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It is 5:01, and here's Susan Berkus.